If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Yeah, I got Beck right here.
I got my headset on.
Your hair looks so good. It's just...
Quite nice.
Yeah, but yours is like stirring me right now.
I don't know if that's good.
Shut up.
Everybody say hey! Hey! Oh! Everybody scream!
Hey, remember that time Lightning shut up? Oh, wait, that never happened.
Is there anyone hotter than Lisa May?
F me, F me, F me.
Is there anyone hotter than Lisa May? When I hear her voice, with myself I want to play. Is there anyone hotter than Lisa May?
And now, our feature presentation.
To turn on a girl. Damn you.
What show was that on? I watched that last night, whatever it was, and I was like, oh my God, there's a whole a group of people saying whore.
It was on Weeds last
Weeds.
Night. I couldn't have been more excited. I was telling Psycho Mike, and by the way, this is the curse of this job. You can no longer just enjoy television. You have to constantly be thinking, how can I use this for work? But I'm watching that, and I could not move fast enough to get that audio clip and wait for this morning at 5:30 so I could spring it on Lisa May.
Oh, I got to tell you, that
was funny.
That show this season has been spectacular.
Isn't it great?
Every episode has been great.
Love it.
It's like hard to pick a favorite. It's just been, you know, a lot of other shows could take a lesson from how the storyline moves on that show.
Yep.
and unexpected and delightful directions. Wait, were we talking about Lisa May?
And then,
get used to it, Lisa.
Wow.
And then after that, I don't know if they kicked him out or if he was leaving, but as he walked out the door, he mumbled under his breath, whore.
Yeah. And Kevin Nealon is so great on that show.
So great.
He's the best.
Oh, dear God.
Well, thank you, Beanie. That was sweet.
Well, it's
my pleasure. It's more of a
you
tribute.
You thought of me, and I really appreciate that.
Isn't that weird that those of us that work on the show that were watching Weeds last night all immediately thought of Lisa May?
The first thing it's to her testament. And if I'm Alex, by the way, who's spent a lot of time and a lot of nights in particular building up her super whore reputation,
yes.
I'm a little bit offended that Alex didn't come to mind, if I'm her. You know
I'm
what I mean?
A little surprised Alex didn't come to mind, like, to tell you the truth.
Like, what does she have to do to get us to equate her with whore? That's her name, for God's sakes.
Well, she's got to try harder, apparently.
Oh, that show is so good. And every character on that show is good. I like the little smart aleck kid. I like the crazy brother that went in the army. I like everybody on that pro. If you don't have Showtime, I know it's difficult for people to afford, you know, all of the channels or whatever. But Showtime is such a good network and is so worth having.
And that could be an iTunes deal too, right, Weeds?
It is.
By the way.
I'm saying if you don't want to get Showtime, you can just get that show if you want on the iTunes, which would be cheaper even. So
or if you have never watched it, you can Netflix the old seasons.
Oh, season
the first
one,
two seasons.
Season two, yeah, right. What about Heroes last night?
I didn't watch it. I recorded
it. I didn't either. I didn't have time.
Was it great?
Wait, Lisa May, you didn't watch? You know what?
I sense a theme.
I thought it was very good, and I was happy to have the show back because that's another gooder. But I'll let Ralph is kind of our Heroes expert, and I'm sure he'll have something to say about it.
Okay,
because he keeps it straight better than I do.
Yeah, well, that's not easy to do.
Yeah, I taped that show. I did watch Chuck. Is that the name of it?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
How's
that?
It has promise. Like, it's one of those that, you know, you can see what they're trying. They're trying to do the action. They're trying to do the, you know, undercover thriller idea. And they're trying to do comedy mm-hmm. all at once. And that's really tough to pull off.
That is tough.
Most of the time. Most shows that try that fail.
Yeah.
Die Hard, for example, is a series that has done really well with being, you know, semi-funny and not
pretty
realistic.
Pretty good action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be good. I wanted to watch it because Jason Schwartz, is that his name?
Schwartzman?
Uh-huh.
From
is
OC?
It Schwartz?
The OC,
something
the guy created.
Josh Schwartz, yes.
And McGee, apparently.
Oh, is he involved too?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So I wanted to watch it. It's an hour long, but I think I'm on.
I'm going to check that one out, and I also want to check out Journeyman, which I did not watch last night because I loved the original BBC series, which its original name escapes me, but I loved that show. I watched that show, and this is the American remake of it. And it's
such an amazing
premise that it's a guy who time travels, goes back and forth into different times, like 30 years back, right, that sort of thing, you know? So, I want to check that out. But it's going to be the point now where all these new shows are going to come so fast and furious. Some are just going to fall away before we even get a chance to see them because there's just too many to keep up with.
It's an embarrassment of riches.
I don't think Journeyman is one that I recorded last night.
Yeah, that one didn't catch my attention. I'm not familiar with the BBC one, so that one is like, all right, guy goes back in time. Good, I'm out.
wouldn't it killed them to debut more of these shows over the summer when there were nights that you would look at a TV schedule ahead with nothing on it you wanted to watch?
And
with all reality and game shows and repeats. Yeah, wouldn't it kill them to do some of that, would it?
No. But is anyone watching Kid Nation?
Is it even on yet?
It is. Yeah,
I didn't even know it had debuted yet.
You know, I was kind of interested, and then I watched 10 minutes of the first one, and I said, I do not. I just can't do this anymore. This reality crap with the kids and the town. I don't care. Die. Whatever. I don't care.
Their parents clearly don't care.
No,
they signed them off.
Yeah, exactly.
I watched that one for, 10 or 15 minutes, like you said, and I didn't dislike it. But like Bean says, since they insist on cramming all of it into like a 4-hour period in 1 week,
yeah,
there's no possible way anybody can keep up with it. So you kind of have to cut stuff loose that you might watch otherwise, but just don't have time.
Yeah.
And I didn't watch Heroes yet. That's a show I was really excited about.
But. Me too.
Right.
Oh, well.
That's the way it goes.
Today.
Go for a long time where there's nothing on but baseball. Now there's all kinds of new sports, all kinds of new TV shows. Just too much to keep up with.
Yeah.
Very excited, though, about Heroes coming back and all the other new shows. Speaking of which, by the way, The King of Mexico. Here's part of the reason why we didn't get to see a lot of these shows. The King of Mexico is a stealer. He's got the 5-finger discount. And we have, certain TV companies send us screeners of some of these shows to kind of give us an idea what they're going to be like so we can talk about them. And, we try to take them home and watch them. And we found out, I don't know, just before vacation, maybe a week and a half ago, that pretty much all of them had been taken home by Dave.
The poor guy can't help it. He's Mexican.
Oh, come on. That's...
We never even saw the screeners. They were just gone.
Didn't you know they existed?
We didn't know they were. Yeah, exactly.
So Dave would come in and go, yeah, I saw Journeyman. I saw that show. And we were like, how did you see it? It's not even on yet. Oh, I got the screener. And then one after another, after another, after another. He took them all home.
Well, in Dave's defense, he is the guy who's on the mic every day entertaining the masses that the television stations would want to see the show so he can talk them up, right? On his very popular radio show.
Yeah, I don't know why they're not just addressed to him.
First
really?
Of all, nobody at this station is on the mic every day entertaining the masses.
That's true.
Some of us are on the mic, but not necessarily.
Keep it a seat warm, right.
Right. Yeah, so he apparently decided that he wanted to watch some shows, so he took them home. So we're going to get a new TV preview from Dave.
Oh, good.
Oh,
so
good.
He can tell us about all the screeners he stole and watched.
Exactly.
Somebody order Mexican?
All the ones that were meant for us that he took because he wanted to see. So.
I think the thing with Dave is he's so used to pirating music that he's at the point now where unless he sees it before it comes out or comes on, he's not interested in it anymore.
Yeah, true. That's true.
Like you could go out today, and get one of the new albums that's coming out today, for instance, and he could say, I don't care about that. I had that 4 months ago. That's what he's like. Oh, that TV show's already on. I'm not going to watch it anymore.
So we got that coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show to kind of try and catch you up on what some of the new stuff are. Also, speaking of did somebody order a Mexican, we have Gustavo Arellano on the program today.
Oh, great.
Ask a Mexican, the original. This is the most bold-faced ripoff that we've ever done on this program.
Yeah, we took the name.
He came up with Ask a Mexican, and he's written articles on it, and he's written a book on it, and he's toured, he's done press about it, and we just filled in the last word in any way we wanted. We're going to do a whole bunch of other series like that.
And I'm eager to get to some of those that we came up with before we went away, by the way. I want to do, ask a homeless guy and ask a blind guy and ask a Muslim and some of these other ones that are on the list now. Ask a whore is going to be a good one.
Sure.
I do that one?
No.
No, okay.
Frank's looking to bring in a professional. You're an amateur. Right. Let's face it.
I think hooker. Hooker denotes that you're getting cash for it.
Whore is just somebody who you could just be having a good time.
Enjoys it.
I was wondering if we could set up somehow ask a guy in jail. That's fascinating to me.
That would be interesting.
That's one I've always wanted to end.
Yeah.
I think like the public would be
interested. Ask a convict.
I don't know how we could do it legally, if we can or can't, but I thought that'd be awesome.
That would be interesting. We certainly have a lot of former inmates.
Ask an inmate.
Yeah. Yeah, ask an inmate, sure.
Well, did somebody order Mexican?
That's not what we're...
Also on today's show, we are going to give you a little preview of Halo 3. Hillary Goldstein is a dude that works at IGN.com, the Xbox channel, and this movie is set to earn all of the money.
In the world.
Just really? All of it.
And by movie, of course, you mean
video game. Did I say movie? Yeah.
You did. Soon to be a movie, though. Don't worry. That's coming,
sure.
Too.
Yeah. So we're gonna talk to him today. Speaking of new TV shows, we're going to talk to Kevin Smith, who's one of the people behind Reaper.
Great.
It's a new TV show, and he's got a new book out called My Boring Ass Life. So we love having Kevin Smith on the program. And if you missed it yesterday, we did have Dave Grohl and Taylor Hawkins in the studio talking about the new CD, which also comes out today. And we'll give you some highlights of that coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. And an update on what's going on with O.J. Simpson. There's all kinds of good stuff going
good.
On in that
I'd like
story.
To hear.
And don't forget, all week long, we're presenting Velvet Revolver with Alice in Chains. You win tickets plus VIP invites to a party with the band at the Rainbow on Sunset Strip, which is a very, very small place.
Mm-hmm.
So that sounds very cool. We'll qualify you for that, and we'll give you those tickets. Coming up this morning on The Kevin and Bean Show, and Ralph, Showbiz Beat is next.
I know the Talking Heads are still making music.
It's great. I
love that. How's Reggie, Ralph?
Oh, cutest little puppy in the world. Ralph, and let me tell you, had I known.
Don't you dare say you would have gotten a dog a long time ago.
Well, had I known what a chick magnet puppies are.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure, absolutely.
I would have started a kennel. I would have become a breeder.
I don't know if you remember
this. Now I'm married, and all the smoking hot chicks come up to me playing with my puppy, so to speak.
Hey now.
And they're no good to me whatsoever.
I'm sure you don't remember this, because it was really insignificant. But at one point, I went to the Rose Bowl flea market.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And a friend, we were puppy sitting, a friend, and I told people, if you want to meet chicks, the exact same thing. You walk through a place like that where there's a ton of women, and all of them are drawn to your puppy. And they will instigate conversations, and you don't have to do anything.
It opens you up to a whole new world of people.
It really does.
Let alone animals. Just people can't get enough of you when you got one of those.
And you know, you get to know everyone in your neighborhood because you're out walking your dog every day. It's really amazing.
There's a sports bar down the street from my house, and Sunday I was out teaching Reggie how to walk on a lead. And three like burly dudes came out of the sports bar. I'd just done watching football, Sunday football. And they're walking the street and goes, dude, what kind of dog is that? I said, it's a miniature dachshund. He turns to his buddy and goes, I am so getting a miniature dachshund.
You're expecting to get your ass kicked and actually liked your dog.
Look how cute that dog is.
It's like, all right. But Ralph, if I know you, you'll put Reggie down in a year or 9 months or when he's not cute anymore, right? I
mean, that's. How dare you?
You're just going to always have a puppy.
Well, here's the beautiful thing about miniature dachshunds. He's about 5 pounds now. He'll grow to a mammoth 8.
Yeah.
By the time it's all done, he'll look like a puppy for the rest of his life.
So. Yeah, that's true.
I'm telling you, we're a few weeks away from Ralph carrying that dog everywhere wearing a little sweater. I mean, this is how it begins. This is how the pet parents start.
My wife started talking about clothes for the dog. I said, no, our dog is never wearing any clothes of any kind, with the possible exception of a number 5 Eagles jersey.
I knew it.
If you knew that.
On Sundays only.
I was thinking
pet
about
parent.
I was thinking about that while we were talking about it, because Bean's like, oh, you know, it's only a matter of time, blah, blah, blah. And I was thinking to myself, if he dresses him up as some kind of Eagles thing, and then the Eagles lose...
Then Puppy Lake.
He's the curse.
Yeah, then Puppy Lake.
Gone.
Although I did get in this weekend, and they won 56-21, so I'm thinking maybe it's a good
omen.
So
you're going to have to get another new one.
To keep buying puppies every weekend.
You have to have 13 or 15.
One of those crazy dog ladies, just in a house full of feces. You know, they talk about in the news. the health department shows.
House full of feces, by the way, Acoustic Christmas.
Oh,
we're not
good.
Supposed to say anything yet.
No. You just ruined
keep your eyes open.
Special guests.
All right, it's 5:52. Again, highlights of our interview later in the show yesterday with Foo Fighters. You will enjoy it very much because Dave and Taylor are just the best. We'd have them in every day if we could. So that's coming up just after 6. Right now, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat for Tuesday morning.
Bean, please tell Lisa and Kevin I'm not talking to them.
Why? What?
Ralph says he's no longer talking to you.
I know why.
Oh, because we didn't watch Heroes?
That's right! You didn't watch Mother Effing Heroes!
I recorded it, Ralph.
Oh, well, that's enough then. As long as you just record it, it'll just be through osmosis. It'll just seep into your brain.
I'm not telling you not to talk about it. I will watch it today.
It was great. It was a great season opener.
No, I'm so glad to hear that.
I'll tell you. And it's great because, as we were talking to Jack Coleman yesterday, mm-hmm. who plays Horn-Rimmed Glasses on the show, they apparently, from season to season, are just going to do a whole season's worth of story, and then it's going to end at the end of the season, and then, boom, they start off brand new. So this series picks up 4 months after the whole thing with Siler at the end of last season.
Oh, 4 months.
So they've all moved on with their lives, and it's a brand new storyline.
How about that?
And I was really, really impressed. They have to deal with so many characters on that show, and they really keep it moving, and I think the storylines are interesting, and they've introduced some new characters, which are really cool, so... Yeah, I'm looking forward to
this. That's really
season.
Smart because they're all up against this whole, what about the 2 month break over Christmas? How do we keep people?
Yeah.
Don't. You just start again.
Exactly.
That's smart.
They brought back the actor who played Sark on Alias. Remember Sark, the British blonde? Yes.
David Anders.
Yeah. David Anders is in this season.
And no kidding.
He's already very entertaining, so I won't ruin it for you if you haven't seen it yet, but check it out.
No no stripper, though. No double stripper. She was not on the show last
She's
night.
She's back next week, I think. Yeah.
Right.
Allie Larder will be back next week.
They know
week.
Better than that.
No, yeah. She's coming back. Absolutely. All right, let's take a look at some of the showbiz news, shall we? Miley Cyrus. Name sound familiar?
Yes, yeah. Certainly.
It is if you watch Hannah Montana over there on the Disney Channel. There had been a rampant rumor on the internet yesterday that she was pregnant at 14 years of age.
That'd be the best.
Oh, stop it, Bean.
Well, she's a Disney Channel star just from a train wreck publicity nightmare for them. It would be awesome to see how they handled that.
It'll work for Vanessa Hudgens.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway,
she got a lot of fans now, doesn't she?
She's Billy Ray Cyrus's kid, by the way. That's worse than the Disney star.
That's right. There is a digital magazine called J14. And here's the thing. The reason the rumor took off is that someone digitally altered that site and then posted it online that she was pregnant, as if it came from a legitimate news source.
So it wasn't even the site that...
No, so the site itself got hoaxed, as well as Miley Cyrus, and now her people are going into double overtime trying to spin it and get the real information out there. But the fake interview that was posted on the magazine site said, "I'm going to take good care of my baby. I've already gained 7 pounds. I was really in shock when it happened accidentally. I went a little too far. I'm sorry to all my fans." So
who's the father?
It looked legitimate. Billy. Billy Ray Cyrus.
Oh.
I can say that because it's fictional. It doesn't matter.
Oh. See? So this story isn't true.
No.
Oh.
She's not pregnant. It's not happening. So everyone relax. It's okay.
Whore.
Speaking of Britney Spears.
Yes.
Nigel Lithgow, one of the producers of American Idol, tells Star Magazine they are asking her to come on the show this upcoming season in January. Look,
well,
her career couldn't suffer anymore. Why not, right?
And
I don't know.
No matter how bad it is, it's good for them. People will watch.
He added he would like her to explain to contestants what they shouldn't do to mess up their careers like she has.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Then this one time, I was so stupid.
Let me tell y'all, don't drink and have babies. Here's the bravest man in the world. There is a muscular Cuban personal trainer.
Oh!
I knew I was going to get that noise out of him.
Who got Mike's attention.
Who is apparently Shaq's trainer.
Right.
Who apparently is having an affair with his future ex-wife, Shawnee.
With Shaq's future ex-wife?
Yes.
Oh.
This is the reason, one of the reasons that their divorce is so ugly and contentious. Because apparently, Shaq found out that she was having an affair with his personal trainer.
She's a whore, okay?
How bold do you have to be to cheat with Shaq's wife?
No kidding.
That's guts. I don't care how muscular you are, what kind of personal trainer you are. It's Shaq. He could kill you.
Yeah.
Like, he could snap you like a wishbone.
He's got the Shaq Fu, remember? He's got that at his
That's
disposal.
Right.
Sure.
On top of being massive, he's got Shaq Fu. And I think he's also a genie. I'm not sure, but I think he's some sort of
I think you're right about
genie.
That. Shazam.
Yeah. David Hasselhoff's ex-wife, Pamela Bach, has turned herself into the LAPD as of yesterday afternoon. It's according to TMZ.com, our favorite entertainment news website. She got booked on hit-and-run charges.
Ooh.
Apparently, Pamela fled the scene after crashing her Mercedes into a parked car in January. And just now is turning herself in.
This is a mess.
That family's just got it all going on, don't they?
No kidding.
I wonder if she was cocktailing when she hit the car. But no word yet. George Clooney showed up to the New York City premiere of his new movie, Michael Clayton, yesterday. Have you seen the trailers for this?
That movie looks awesome.
Looks pretty terrific.
Yes, I can't wait.
He showed up with his girlfriend, Sarah Larson. Of course, this is the two of them had an accident on the motorcycle recently. She was on crutches, but he apparently told reporters he's doing okay. He's got his ribs all wrapped up. He's got a cracked rib. He said, I'm Neosporin to death because he's had road rash all over his body. He said, I'm just not jogging right now. No jumping jacks. If you've ever had a hurt rib, you know what it feels like. It's pretty hell. Pretty hell.
Last year, sometime, Ralph, I think we talked to some people who were fans of girls in casts. That was their sexual
right,
turn-ons.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
There was a whole website of people with bandages and casts and stuff like that. And if you saw George Clooney's new girlfriend on the red carpet in that beautiful dress in the cast on crutches, I was just thinking, there are guys out there right now who are just freaking out that this is on regular television. It just must be so exciting for them. It's like unscrambled porn for them right in front of them.
Yeah, it's like a celebrity sex tape.
And by then, you mean Bean was going, she can't get away.
She couldn't run off the island.
Wee! Wee! Liam Neeson's got a new gig, according to The Hollywood Reporter. He's been cast in a new Steven Spielberg-produced biography of Abe Lincoln. Liam Neeson is Abe Lincoln.
Really?
Yes.
That's a strange mixture, but I like everything he's in.
The Brits are just taking over every role in America now. They're just playing
true.
Everything.
Yeah. Is he playing him gay, as that book suggested?
I do not believe they're going to focus on his sexuality. Apparently, The Hollywood Reporter says the film will be more about Lincoln's role in leading the North during the Civil War.
He did that?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah.
All right.
Years ago, there was a big problem here in the United States called a civil war.
Okay.
And Abe was the leader of the North side.
But at least it was civil. I mean, you don't want to be mean to each other.
Very, very polite. Yes, they would sit down and have tea and just really...
No one got hurt, Kevin.
I see your point. I see your point, but I choose to disagree. There was a lot of that going on.
That's the best kind of war.
And, you know, I love the celebrity riders, the concert riders.
Oh, yeah, these are the best.
For those of you who don't know, a concert rider is is part of a contract when you hire a musical artist, especially, to perform. They get certain perks, certain extra side benefits tacked on to their fee, whatever you're paying them, that they have to have backstage in order to make their lives more comfortable. And they're almost always entertaining. But can you imagine, knowing what we know about her, what Amy Winehouse's rider is like?
Ooh.
Well, apparently, Ireland Online got a peek at her contract rider to play the MOBO Awards in London. And here's what she asked for backstage in her dressing room, okay?
Okay.
Two bottles of Jack Daniels.
Okay.
Two bottles of premium champagne. One large bottle of vodka. Two cases of Heineken.
How long was she going to be there?
One night. A platter of fresh meat, cheese, and a jar of honey.
Huh. I like meat.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Jar of honey.
The meat's got to be for like her friends or something, right?
Yeah, no
kidding. The food's got to be for her friends.
Yeah.
She's not going to slow down the intake of alcohol into her bloodstream by eating anything. But I thought the jar of honey was interesting. But two bottles of Jack, two bottles of champagne, a large bottle of vodka, and two cases of Heineken.
And pre-cut lines of Coke.
That's a good time right there. Today's celebrity birthday is Michael Douglas. Famous actor, producer. He is 63 years old today. Catherine Zeta-Jones, his lovely wife, is 38 years old today.
Boobs.
He wins.
He does.
Yeah, he does.
Will Smith, actor and singer, is 39 years old today. Aida Torturo, Janice from The Sopranos, turns 45. Heather Locklear is 46 years old today. Michael Madsen, Mr. Blonde from Reservoir Dogs and other Quentin Tarantino films, 49 years old today. And Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker, is 56 years old today.
Oh.
Yeah.
He needs the Force now more than ever.
He does it just to make a solid BM in the morning. He's got to draw upon the Force.
Are we?
What's a blindfold on?
That's right. The droid has to come out and help him.
Oh,
sad. Sad now for our Jedi friend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Lisa May.
Yes.
That's a good point.
So that's how this morning's going to go. Okay.
You couldn't tell that a half hour ago?
No, I kind of knew.
It's 6:08. That's the fifth time we've played that. It's our
good
favorite
point.
Thing ever from Weeds. All right. We got a lot of stuff coming up on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. We got Ask a Mexican with Gustavo Arellano. We have Kevin Smith on the program about a new show called Reaper.
Yeah.
Yesterday, we got the great fortune to hang out with a couple of the guys from Foo Fighters in the studio.
When I talk about it's a shame we have to die.
make fewer songs if you make them longer. You know?
That just made me feel 100 years old. Right there.
That was a trip through the years.
Jeez Louise.
Foo Fighters, new CD, and available for download. We got a couple of the Foos in the room with us right now. A couple of little drummer boys, Taylor Hawkins and our friend Dave Grohl, back on Kerrang. Good morning, boys. How are you?
I like how you said available for download.
I had a conversation with a young person not long ago, and I was talking about going out and buying a CD, and they're like, why would you go buy a CD? I mean, it was such a foreign concept to her that I would consider getting in a car and driving someplace and buying a CD. Not something she'd never considered before. And I realized, you know, times are changing. So I want to make sure people know, yeah, they can download it as well. So how you boys doing?
Great.
Fab.
Got a big box of Yum Yum Donuts.
Yes, you do. Yes.
Saw that.
Got
thank
a couple
you for that.
Big tall coffees.
We'll send one through the ether.
Nope. Don't need to. We just like to tease them and eat them all ourselves.
I think those are illegal up in Seattle. I'm not sure.
Yum Yums.
They're too powerful. They got too much going on there.
Hey, you know what? When was the last time you found Steakums in the freezer section anywhere in California?
I don't know that I've looked.
You know what? I think they're against the law here, and that's a bummer.
I didn't know there was a Steakums controversy going on, Dave.
I'm telling you.
Speaking of food, we were talking in the other room, and Dave has the unfortunate luck of having his voice recognized even when he drives through McDonald's.
Oh. But it's only because I'm a frequent customer.
McDonald-holic.
I'm a McDonald-holic. It's my favorite Scottish restaurant. I go there a lot when I have little time to fix a healthy breakfast.
Sure.
And it's gotten to the point where I go to order food, and they go like, welcome to McDonald's. Can I take your order, please? And I'll say, yeah, can I get a number one with a six-piece nugget? And they'll go, hey!
That was a nice accent, by the way.
Yeah. That was
welcome
a good
to McDonald's.
Well, that was an international accent.
The McDonald's worker. I was trying to identify where the McDonald's worker was.
I was
from
all over the place. I'm not going to give an Australian accent for like a...
Hello, mate. Welcome to McDonald's.
Hey, welcome to Mickey D's. Right then. Number
well,
two.
Listen, boys, we've got a lot of ground to cover in a very short time, and I have to start with this because we were out.
Story of my life, baby.
I know we were out in Las Vegas a couple weeks ago, as were you, for the abomination that was the MTV Video Music Awards. Perhaps certainly one of the lowest rated, but perhaps one of the worst shows to ever watch on the history of MTV. It was just a horrible show, except for your segment in the suite where you guys
I was waiting
rocked
for that.
It.
They looked so disturbed.
Like,
and puzzled.
Wait a second!
No, it was
we were on that.
It was
show.
A terrible show, and we talked about this all day long on the Monday after the show. We said, "How about a little less of Kanye screaming in his suite and a little more of actual songs that your band was playing with this, you know, the superstar rock lineup?" It must have been like being at the best keg party ever that night that you did that.
Well, we were lucky because the people we know a lot of those people at MTV, and we have for so long. Like, we've been going over there for a long time now, over there to the MTV.
Sure,
place.
We've been sucking butt there for a long time.
It's been a long time. So when they told us the concept of what they were doing, that they were doing a show downstairs and then a couple hotel suites, we thought, oh, cool. So we get to have the rock party.
Right.
And they're like, oh, yeah, man, you guys have your suite and that'll be great. And I said, we can invite our friends and stuff. They're like, yeah. So we called up Queens of the Stone Age. We called up Mastodon. We called up Eagles of Death Metal. We called up Surge from System of a Down. Called up CeeLo. And just threw together all these covers and collaborations. And we didn't. I mean, they didn't even tell us when the cameras were on. You
probably didn't get a chance or care to watch the whole show.
No, we didn't even
Here's
see
what
it.
Happened.
Oh.
They would cut to you, and they would go, what if? Right back to Kanye for, like, I don't know, like 3 minutes.
Well, you know, I kind of.
I kid you not. Like, wait, I wanted to see, but what about?
For us, it was, I mean, for me personally, that was the most fun I've ever had at one of those award ceremonies, because usually we're like, oh, God, we need a rock band. Hey, what are the Foo Fighters doing? And so we wind up at these things. It's like, ladies and gentlemen, T.I., Kanye West, Alicia Keys, and the Foo Fighters. And we're
and
just
it,
like
right.
sore thumbs. Like,
rock
what
band.
Are we doing right. here, you know? So we were just in our own little world, and it was super fun.
Well,
and
they were careful not to show any of it, just so you know.
Yeah. Well, it's good, because it was basically us and Lemmy doing beer bongs upstairs for 3 hours. I don't know if that's good TV or not.
What did Lemmy sing? He sang something funny. What was it?
He sang, we did a, there's a song called Shake Your Blood, which is from a record called Probot. And then
oh, I remember
we did a Motorhead song, I'll Be Your Sister.
awesome. And it looked like, I mean, it was just, it looked like exactly like a college keg party, just a sweaty room with just crammed full. You couldn't even move in there. It was just so crowded. You guys just were playing everything.
It was crappier than everyone else's.
Yeah, everybody else had like
super duper sweet.
Like fur couches and strippers and girls. Ours was just like a bunch of dudes in their 40s doing beer bombs.
We were there at MTV and we were like, okay, they gave us a pair of tickets. And we kept saying, because we knew you guys were in the suite, we kept saying, you know, Foos, you know, that'd be cool if we could be up there, but no pressure. We sure would like to be up there, though. That'd be
did
cool.
Did you try to get up?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
What
we did.
The hell would they happen? Said, oh, no. We gave you some special tickets. And we were like, all right, whatever. And we went into that nightclub down there. Linkin Park was playing, but I had seen that, and they're friends of mine. I love them. Right. But I'd seen them do a whole show the night before. So I was like, okay, sure would like. So we go into this nightclub, and they show the show, the MTV show, on a little tiny TV screen with no sound. So about 5 minutes in, I noticed that we were listening to Hey There Delilah, the remix, like in this nightclub, and Linkin Park was set up to play, but I couldn't hear anything but the Hey There Delilah remix. Weird. Walked away from the hotel, got back to my room probably 20 minutes into the show. I was just like,
watched it on TV.
Yeah, just watched it on TV.
It was, I mean, we had a blast, and then afterwards we had even more of a blast. We went down to the pool party thing, and I don't really remember.
But you bet it was fun.
You know what I did? I think I broke my coccyx.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Dave, you know with the FCC. Come on, dude. What are you trying to do to
I'm
us?
Talking about my tailbone, dude.
You broke it?
Yeah, I don't know. I rode my motorcycle here today, and every little bump felt like a knife up my butt.
But how did you do that exactly?
I was a little drunk, and I went to go take a piss behind the cabana at the pool, and I slipped and hit my coccyx on a rock.
Oh, it's good to be you.
Dave and Taylor, of course, from Foo Fighters, Echo, Silence, Patience, and Grace is the new album. And we've heard much about, I regret I've not heard the album yet, we've heard much about that you guys continue to explore what a Foo Fighters song can be, and you really push the limits a little bit on this one.
What is a Foo Fighters song exactly? Well, I mean, at this point, you know, we've been a band like 12 or 13 years, and this is our sixth record. And with every album we make, we try to plant these little seeds of experimentation so that the next time we make a record, we can elaborate on that. And, you know, every album is like a platform for the next. And so as musicians, you want to keep on growing and doing things that are a little bit different than things that you've done before. And after this long, like, God bless AC/DC and the Ramones. I don't know how they made the same record for 26 years or 50 whatever.
50 times in a row.
But I don't know if I could do that, you know? And I think we love so many different kinds of music. And I'll go home and listen to, you know, a Ry Cooder record or a Neil Young record. And then I get in my car and I'm listening to Rain and Blood by Slayer, and then at the end of the night, you know, I'm listening to the Amy Winehouse record. And so as a musician, you just want to be able to do as many things as you can. And I'm proud of the fact that that we can have a song like The Pretender, or we can have a song like Home, which is the last song on the record, which is a piano song, you know. And it's just cool. Like, and at this point, I mean, you know, we're kind of through being cool. We're just guys who play music, you know.
Right.
We're too old to be cool.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of your past and that last song we played, and everybody always wants to ask you about Nirvana and Kurt and blah, 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 blah. Why have you not written a book?
I've been asked to.
Yeah. So I'm saying,
I'm
is that
a horrible speller, dude.
But I'm, that you, there's help with that. No, but I'm just saying as self-defense so that you can just say, look at the book, dude. I mean, it's just to answer
the book
all those
could be
questions.
So juicy.
Oh, it must get. It must drive you crazy. This is your sixth CD, and still.
Yeah. You know what? Here's the thing: is that I used to, when I would write songs, I'd intentionally avoid anything that would bring me here to talking about this stuff.
But that never helped, did it?
Well, no, it kept me, in a way, like if I wrote a song that was like fingernails blue, like people never, they wouldn't assume that was about Kurt or Courtney or anything. And so I would intentionally divert any of that so that I wouldn't have to deal with it.
Right.
And recently, within the last couple years, especially on this record, I was like, screw it, man. Like, I don't care. I've had this conversation a million times, and I don't want to keep me from writing something that I want to write. You know, it shouldn't.
But it's got to frustrate you too. That's all anyone.
Well, I mean, people imagine.
And that, you know, if I write about death or loss or pain or losing someone, that that it's about Kurt. And it's, you know, just because it's an obvious reference. They can't imagine that I've ever experienced that outside of that.
Right, of course.
Right.
So
thank God Foo Fighters exists. And as you said, six records and 13 years on. But how would, what would have happened had Nirvana stayed healthy and stayed together? What would you have done with all this ambition and all these songs and all these new things that you've been able to do if that band had remained an ongoing concern?
I don't know, man. Because I was, a lot of this stuff I was, I mean, I was writing and recording songs by myself in my basement studio when Nirvana was still together. And I was doing it even before I joined Nirvana, but I didn't take it seriously or anything. And so I'd probably be doing the same thing. It, you know, it would just be, I'd have my day job and then I'd have this thing that I'd do in my basement outside of that. I'm not really sure, because actually some of this, there was stuff that I recorded while Nirvana was still together that this this dude in Detroit who had an independent label got a hold of one of the cassettes that I had made. And he's like, hey, man, it might be cool just to release like a five song thing, you know, just so you could have something to do outside of Nirvana. And I remember thinking, oh, man, that'd be really cool. And I mentioned it to the people at Nirvana's record company and they're like, yeah, I don't think that's such a good idea.
Got to keep the ball rolling.
So I was like, oh, okay, well, I don't want to rock the boat or anything. You know, just the drummer.
Because you do always wonder, I mean, you always wonder if you had not, you know, been faced with, now I've got to come up with something new, you always wonder how far you, I have always wondered how far you would have gone into it, or if you would have been content just to be the drummer in the biggest rock band in the world, you know, if that would have been enough for you.
That's not a bad gig, being the drummer in the biggest rock band in the world. I totally enjoy just being the drummer of a band. I think it's really great.
And that's partly why you guest so much.
You should play with
other
bands. That'd be cool. Yeah. Like a guest drummer for, with other bands or something?
You think?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Oh, I couldn't do that.
Let me tell you why the 7 o'clock hour, the hour between 7 and 8 on this morning's Kevin and Bean show, is one of the great hours in our history. And not because of anything we're going to do, but because of what we can give to you. We've got tickets to see Velvet Revolver with Alice in Chains. As you know, they're touring together. That show is October 26th at the Verizon Wireless. You can win that. And Party with Velvet Revolver, private party on the Sunset Strip. We got that to give away. And how about 5 copies of Halo, ladies and gentlemen? How about that?
Wow.
How about the Halo that went on sale at midnight this morning? And we'll tell you all about it. That's coming up between 7 and 8 o'clock this morning on the World Famous K-Rock.
Wouldn't you like to get an accurate count of the exact number of people that are still playing Halo from after purchasing last night at midnight?
Oh, they're still
right
at
this
right
moment.
Now?
Right at this moment, still playing.
We are going to be talking to a K-Rock listener who is, in fact, doing that.
Okay.
He is still up and still playing, and we'll be talking to him at about 7:15 this morning.
Well, we do good work.
let me read a list of things and tell me if this is what you want hanging over your head. One count each of conspiracy to commit a crime, conspiracy to commit kidnapping, conspiracy to commit robbery, first degree kidnapping with use of a deadly weapon, burglary while in possession of a deadly weapon, robbery with the use of a deadly weapon, assault with a deadly weapon, and coercion with the use of a deadly weapon. Yep, we're talking about the charges for Mr. O.J. Simpson. And O.J. joins us on the phone right now talking about that big incident in Las Vegas a few weeks ago. Hey, Juice, how are you?
Good morning, Kevin Bean. How are you?
Well, we're good. Well, how are you?
Better than you, I guess.
I'm doing great. I'm the Juice.
Well,
yes, indeed.
It's hard to believe that you're doing great after listening to Bean read that list of felonies that are being brought against
you. Yeah, whoever that person is, he's in a lot of trouble.
That's you. Those are charges that Clark County DA has filed against you for the armed robbery in Las Vegas.
What? Now, some of those charges, they're a little redundant, aren't they?
It seems like it,
yeah. Conspiracy to commit a crime, conspiracy to commit burglary, conspiracy to commit kidnapping. Those are crimes. They covered that in the first one.
Right.
Burglary
right.
with a gun, robbery with a gun, asking people to give you their crap with a gun.
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, that can be part of your defense, OJ. I mean, this one probably is going to go to trial. Can you? I don't know how much you can talk about, but what happened in that hotel room at the Palace Station?
I just went in there looking to buy some baseball cards. That's all.
Looking to buy some baseball cards?
Yeah, like, hey, do you have any Pedro Guerrero?
Now,
and the guy said, oh, all of a sudden everybody thinks I stole something. It's
well,
crazy.
I think according to the news, the guy that was you know, staying in that hotel room had a bunch of your memorabilia.
Really? I didn't even notice.
But how do you say you didn't even notice when you pulled a gun on him and told you that nobody could steal your ass? Give me my ass back.
Listen, I'm the juice.
Right.
There was no gun. There was no gun.
According to the police,
there was no gun.
According to the police, there was more than one gun.
No, it was a fountain pen. I was signing a check. Like right now, I'm writing out a grocery list, right?
Okay.
Yeah. See, it's just a pen. That's just makes a noise that's loud and gun-like.
What about the other people in the room who will swear under oath that they saw you pointing a gun at them? What about them?
People lie.
Okay. What if people do?
Trust me. I know all about lying.
Yeah.
Some people lie.
What about the audio tape that's at TMZ.com? I have a little of it. It's kind of difficult to hear, but you really can hear you saying, you know, get up against the wall and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you play that. I'll tell you what I said.
All right.
You can steal my cell. Don't let nobody out of here. You motherfucker.
Okay, so first of all, he said, don't let nobody out of here.
No, I said, don't let nobody have a beer.
Oh.
Because I knew they were all driving. I don't want them to commit a crime by drinking and driving.
I see.
So I gave everybody some iced tea.
I see. Okay, here's a little bit more of that tape.
Get over there. Get over there. Walk your ass over there.
You keep asking if he stole your S.
Yes. Did you steal my sheet? I went into my hotel room and there were no sheets on my bed. I said, you can't steal my sheet.
OJ,
sheet back. I want my sheet. And my pillowcase while you're at it.
Is this an early peek at your defense? Is this really what you're going to get in a court of law and try to claim?
I'm just telling you the truth. That's all.
Oh, how much you're going to miss Johnny Cochran when this trial begins,
no,
huh?
No kidding.
Hold on a second. I got to autograph something here.
Okay.
Oh! That pen went off again.
Wow. That's a scary pen.
I wish Johnny was alive.
Well, maybe you shouldn't have written to him.
That's funny.
Does it seem like, it seems to me like everybody's quite happy with this turn of events. Does it seem like that to you?
Well, some people may be happy. Not everybody. I'm not happy. That's one.
Okay.
Right. And that's about it, right?
I think what Kevin is suggesting is maybe part of the interest in this case is people are finally excited to see you spend some real time in jail, because the feeling among most Americans is you got off easy on all those people you killed.
But first of all, I didn't kill nobody. And second of all, Joe Montana's stuff was taken from that room, too. Why aren't they looking at him? Because he's a white quarterback.
No,
that's
I don't think he showed up with a weapon.
Sure, there's that. But still, if his things are missing, why don't they say, oh, Joe Montana went in there and said, give me my stuff back?
Because he didn't.
You're just clouding the issue. It's the white media trying to paint me out as some sort of monster.
Okay, but this tape that we were listening to that's up at TMZ.com, that was recorded that day, and it's clearly you.
I explained that already. I'm doing people a favor, trying to get in there and get them to not drink and drive and to give me my sheet back.
All right, well,
how much more clear can that be?
I guess we settled it then.
Don't you just randomly sometimes go into people's rooms and tell them not to drink and to give you linens?
Well, hang on. Let me think. No.
Happens all the time to me.
Nope. No.
I'm satisfied. That sounds very plausible to me.
Right.
Okay.
Case dismissed.
I want to be on your jury.
Let me sign something.
Oh.
Bye now.
What's up with Halo just after 7 and your chance to win the games, plus director Kevin Smith on the show today at 6:53. As Kevin mentioned, that means it's time for the Showbiz Beat. Ralph is here. What's going on for Tuesday?
Let's pull out the DUI pool, shall we? See if we have any winners. Everyone
really?
Take a look at your cards, please. Everyone look at your DUI cards.
Okay.
Did anyone here at the DUI pool have?
Yes.
Kiefer Sutherland. Kiefer Sutherland is our lucky winner today.
No.
Kiefer Sutherland.
Really?
I don't have
him.
Can you draw another name, please?
No, I'm sorry. All the money's going to have to go back into the jackpot. We're going to turn it over. Tomorrow we'll be playing for $1,780. Kiefer Sutherland popped for DUI last night in West Hollywood, according to TMZ.com.
He was pulled over around 1:10 a.m. on the corner of La Cienega and Beverly. I'm guessing he was boozing at the Coronet Pub. That's just my guess.
In his defense, he has a very stressful job trying to save the world twice a year.
Look, I'd drink too if I had his days. He's had three really crappy days so far that I know of. Or four. How many years has it been? Five.
Five years.
Six,
yeah.
Six? Well, he's had five.
The new season is going to be the six, I think.
Apparently, he took a blood breathalyzer test, and his blood alcohol level was well over 0.08, the legal limit here in California. He was arrested and then transported to the Hollywood police station. Story is developing. We'll keep you up to date on all the details. But Kiefer Sutherland, our lucky winner today. Kiefer Sutherland.
Man.
Here's the thing. He's a well-known imbiber. He is a famous drinker.
Right.
But every article I've ever read about him says that he goes to bars near his loft. Apparently lives in like a downtown L.A. loft. He walks. He takes cabs. He's like really diligent about not drinking and driving. So I'm surprised to see this happen to him because he knows he likes to booze.
Yeah.
And he usually takes precautions to avoid this kind of thing. But sometimes you just got to get home, you know?
Quickly.
Sometimes you're at a bar, you just got to get home.
That's your advice for the young drinkers?
Nothing you could do. Try not to do it, but sometimes you got to get home.
I'm not sure that's our advice.
No, it isn't?
In general, no, I don't think.
Sometimes international television is much more entertaining than American television. Just sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think we have the best goddamn television in the world, in this country. Don't get me
wrong. Hey, after a week in Europe last week, I couldn't agree with you more.
But there's some international program that really entertains me. Perhaps you've been on YouTube recently and you've seen the game show host on Sweden's TV.
I've not seen that.
No, you haven't? Well, maybe we can put it up on the website because it's really worth watching. Her name is Eva Nasmussen. She's very attractive, and she hosts a game show on Swedish TV where you have to call in and solve a puzzle. And if you solve the puzzle, it's a live show. They take callers live on the air, and if you solve the puzzle, you win a grand prize.
Okay.
So this young lady is talking to a guy on the phone on live television, and suddenly, very suddenly, she doesn't feel too well.
Oh, no.
At all. And it may be the first time you can capture serious projectile vomiting on live television. And she just becomes a fountain while this guy's talking to her. And she just bolts out of frame. And then you see her come back real quickly.
No.
Right. Okay.
She continues?
Yeah, she continues.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's really impressive.
I just threw up in my mouth.
That is a professional, too, by the way. Just duck off screen and come back.
No kidding.
Keep playing the game.
No kidding.
But it's magical. You got to see this video clip. So if you go to, I guess, Swedish Vomit on YouTube,
that's the search.
Yeah, if you search good that, band. You'll probably find it.
Good band,
Swedish Vomit? Yeah, I like them, too. They're real good. Josh Kelly's ready to marry Katherine Heigl. Bean, are you okay about this? I didn't realize, she's getting married. I didn't think about your feelings.
I do love her so, but I'm willing to let her go.
But now that Zach and Vanessa have busted up, you've got...
I got a shot at Zach now, so why waste my time with Katherine Heigl?
She's very lucky that you've decided to let her go.
Yeah. Apparently, they are looking to start a family almost immediately, according to Josh Kelly, her fiancé. Good idea. Don't bother getting, to know each other as a man and wife, so having kids right away. And apparently, he said she called him the night she won the Emmy.
Right.
And he couldn't understand what she was saying for about 10 minutes. Because she was just so beside herself. Yeah, just blathering on. He's like, what? What are you saying? I'm wondering why he wasn't there. I wonder why it was a phone call.
That is kind of strange, yeah.
The impression I got from what little I saw of the Emmys is that the tickets were super tight and cast members kind of had to sit together at a table. There wasn't really room for plus ones.
I've heard the same thing about Katherine Heigl, by the way.
It was kind of like K-Rock Management was running the party.
Oh, no dates? No dates, no mates.
Right.
No dates,
right.
No mates. Victoria Beckham is a size zero, but she says she's not too vain to show herself as a big girl.
What?
She's going to appear on Ugly Betty and wearing a fat suit. In her role.
Well, that is.
That is really.
Why? What's her?
That is like Tyra Banks
suit?
Level of commitment to your craft. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I thought you were going with gain some weight.
No,
for
no. God forbid.
Fat suit.
No, she will be wearing a fat suit on her appearance on Ugly Betty.
If she wears a fat suit, she'll end up normal looking.
It's
she
true.
Starts waist,
she starts
waist
as a
skin.
Size 2 fat suit. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad they're doing that, too, because If you know anything, there are no fat actresses in Los
That's
Angeles.
That's true. That is
so
true.
So sometimes they have to get really hot girls and just put them in fat suits because there's just a shortage of fat actresses.
Isn't that the show where Rebecca Romijn is?
Yeah.
Used to be a dude?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have all kinds of issues going on over there. Yeah. Betty.
It's the least believable casting ever.
Won the Emmy. Best comedy.
No,
it didn't. No, it didn't. I take that. Take that.
Okay.
30 Rock won. She, but America Ferrera won for best actress. Speaking of fat suits, Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah.
We'll be back again on FX's Nip Tuck in November.
Hey!
Yes.
Once again playing the lottery winner, Dawn Budge, who had sex with...
Christian Troy.
Christian Troy on the floor. Remember
yes,
that?
Yes.
That girl's fat.
Yeah. This time she will return as her character who needs cosmetic help after an altercation with a bald eagle while paragliding.
Is that what they're calling it these days?
Yes, apparently.
Bald eagle.
North Fern.
That's so hot.
Uh-oh. Oh, here's the scene now. Oh, man. Bald eagle attacked her while she was paragliding.
Yeah. She sounds like a dude in that clip.
That happens all the time, too.
Paragliding on a roller coaster.
It was a mechanical paraglider. It's one of those steam-driven ones. And if you have kids, are a kid, or are being, I'm sure you're a big fan of the Jonas Brothers.
I don't care for them, but I know they're very, very popular.
Yes. Three teenage singers in a band. Apparently Disney thinks they're the next breakout stars for the network.
Yeah, so they're the new Hanson.
They are putting them in a movie, besides another series.
Okay.
But in this movie that will come out in 2008, Kevin, Joe, and Nick will play spies for the government while they work at their daytime jobs as a rock band.
And they're 14-ish?
they're preteens.
How old are they?
Teenish, yeah.
Wow.
See, so they're rock band by day, spies by night.
Sure.
That could happen.
Liked it.
Okay.
Use those writers over there on Chuck. Check that out. Did you watch Chuck?
I like Chuck.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
He
thinks it could get better.
Oh, yeah, I know that. That's a given. I thought that a lot.
It has potential.
You know, everybody has their own taste, and some things I go, I love that, and I can't understand how everyone else doesn't love that. That's not this show. This show, there's some weaknesses, but I want to like it.
I think it's just, I thought it was likable in terms of the casting, I mean, the performers, but I thought it was way formulaic of just sort of all the pieces, how they kind of throw. I mean, that's the trouble with any pilot, though. You have to kind of establish the world that living in, the storylines and stuff. But I just seemed to, really too simple for me.
I'm hoping it goes uphill from here, and you're afraid it's going downhill from here?
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. But I'll give it another shot.
It'll do a 30 Rock.
Yes, exactly.
It just seems clumsily put together, I guess, is what I'm saying, for a pilot. It just seemed really sort of, saw that coming. It just was really sort of forced.
McGee put that together, by the way, and directed it, I think.
Oh. Do we owe him money?
No, but he listens sometimes.
Does he?
Yeah.
It was great.
Thank you.
Just as good as Fastlane.
I forget those characters' names.
It was Glick and Slurb.
That's right.
Two leads in Fastlane, one of other McGee's projects.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
By contrast, however, tonight on the CW is Reaper.
Which I love.
Yes, it looks great.
Which, as a pilot, is seamless in how they sort of get the ball rolling on what the story is going to be throughout the rest of this series. It really comes out along very organically, and it's very entertaining, and the cast is really top to bottom great, and the dialogue is terrific. I mean, it's well done. It's a great example of how to do it versus how not to do it, I think. So we'll be talking to Kevin Smith about that later, right?
Yes, later this hour. Yeah, that's the only show on the Qua, really, that has a lot of buzz this fall season, it seems like.
Hipsters, Ralph. They call it the Qua.
Hipsters call it the Qua?
Yeah. Everyone else calls it the CW.
All I care about is Bionic Woman this week. That's all I care about.
That looks good, too.
Wednesday night.
That's Wednesday, right?
Bionic Woman, yeah. The people who revamped Battlestar Galactica, my other favorite show, are responsible for revamping this one. So I'm looking forward to
Here's a tip for the TV networks. Why don't you just put all of the new shows on at the exact same time on the exact same night?
Look, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to beat out the other guy for your eyes. Literally. They want your eyes. They don't even want you watching the shows. They just want you just mailing your eyes.
But don't you get the idea that some of these shows would work if you had some time to watch it when nothing else? I don't know. It just seems ridiculous.
I agree. Today's celebrity birthday is Michael Douglas, very talented actor and producer. He is 63 years old today. His lovely wife, Catherine Zeta-Jones, is 38. Will Smith, actor and singer, turns 39. Michael Madsen, very talented actor from Reservoir Dogs and other Quentin Tarantino films, like Kill Bill. 49 years old today. Heather Locklear turns 46.
46.
Wow.
Heather Locklear.
Yeah.
Come on. Talk about your cougars.
Okay. Yeah. That's,
yet, she's yet Kevin would put her down if he was running the government.
Not true at all. I said there's exceptions. She's one of them.
She is too old to be attractive.
She's amazing.
In Kevin's eyes. And Mark Hamill, legendary Luke Skywalker.
Too old to be attractive.
Too old to be attractive. Yeah. He's 56 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Right now, let's talk about Halo 3.
Okay. Well, today is the day ever since Halo 3 was announced a year and a half ago. We've been waiting for this day. Halo fans certainly have. And today's the day it's in store. So let's find out what's up with it with Hillary Goldstein. He is the editor-in-chief of IGN.com's Xbox channel. Can we call you Hillary, or should we just call you Master Chief? What's your suggestion here?
You can just call me Master. That would be good. You know what, though? I will say, I just wanted to say, thank you for letting me open for Kevin Smith. That's a dream of mine.
Yeah, well.
Oh, good. Fantastic. So I'm not exaggerating when I say that millions of people around the world have been really counting down and making plans for how they're going to spend this week, right?
That is true. This is probably the biggest media event of all time. So, people have been waiting around the world to get their hands on Halo 3, and as of midnight, I guess this morning, everybody got it.
Now, according Bean said a stat yesterday that he read that it was going to make $150 million-ish on the first day. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's. I've heard actually estimates up to that to over $250 million, so it's sort of varying, but yeah, that's probably true. It's going to make more than most major blockbuster releases.
Oh, yeah, it's going to make more than 99% of movies that are made, and that's just in the first day. But what about, we have so many questions for you in such a limited amount of time, Hillary. What mm-hmm. about so many things that come out in this vein are limited edition? People want it, can't get it right now. Is that, what's the supply like for people who want to go out and buy Halo today?
If you want to buy just the regular edition of this game, you're going to find it. It's going to be easy to find. They're mass-producing this thing. They're not going to run short, that's for sure. But the Legendary Edition, which is $130 and comes with Master Chief's helmet, which you could fit on your cat if you wanted to.
I'm sorry.
That might be in short supply, because I imagine that it's a little bit tougher to mass-produce this awesome helmet that I have sitting on my desk right here.
So the only difference is the helmet.
Yeah, it has a helmet, and then it has a couple of extra discs. So if you're really into it and you want like a making of feature and all this stuff, which, you know, some people are really into, they want to know how this game is made because they've basically been waiting 3 years for this thing.
Right.
It's like their religion. So
okay, what about for people who are listening, and there are a lot of them who just don't play video games? It's just not something that's part of their world. What is it that makes Halo head and shoulders above all of the other thousands and thousands of games that are available for people to play?
It's fun. I mean, it's like the glazed donut of games. It's like if every other game is just a crawler, this is the one that has the sprinkles on it. It's just, it has some kind of intangible extra that just, it makes it a little bit more fun than everything else. It's got great music. It looks great. And, you know, some people will say that it's the story that captivates them, but I'd say the story's on par with Star Wars, which is to say that it's not exactly very deep. It thinks it's deeper than it is, I guess, but some people really attach to it.
Bean, do we do any research on this Hillary guy?
Well, it's fun, Kevin. That's what we didn't know.
The glazed now, donut of games.
That I like. That I put that on the poster. It is just, I mean, in simplest terms, it's just a first-person shooter game, though. I mean, you basically spend your time blowing crap up, right?
Yeah. You know what it is, though, is a lot of shooters really want to capture that idea of, you know, you're John McClane in Die Hard, and they want you to feel as if you're that hero, and
right.
Most of them don't succeed. This is one of those games where, you know, people can actually really feel as if they're saving the universe, and I do worry that some people actually believe that if they do not beat Halo 3, the universe will be destroyed.
Oh, I think a major portion of the people that play it religiously do. Now, this is Kevin speaking. I'm more of a team type thing. Like, I'd rather play Madden. If take on somebody.
Right.
How many? Is it true that you can get up to 16 different people playing this against each other?
Oh yeah, yeah. You can have 16 people either playing. You can have 4 people playing split screen on one TV, or you can go online and play up to 16 people. Absolutely, and you know. You know, you said you like sports, and I got to say that we actually got into this game, and we were actually able to create a game of Home Run Derby. They have these things called a gravity hammer, which is just imagine holding a giant, it almost looks like a bat. It's like holding Babe Ruth's bat. And if you time it right, you can actually knock rockets out of the air. And so we set up a game where we were just trying to knock rockets out of the sky, and it's pretty hilarious. So it doesn't have to be about killing people. It can be something beautiful.
Hillary has spent too much time at IGN.com. How long have you had this game to play with?
Well, you know, I went up for a review event in Seattle at Bungie Studios, and I got to play for about 2 days straight, and this is like kind of 24/7, nonstop. I think my brain slightly melted. I will say, by the way, that Bungie Studios is right next to the best pancake house I've ever been to, so props to the pancake house.
That's a good tip.
And, yeah, so if you're ever at Bungie Studios, go to the pancake place. And I've had the game now since Friday, and so I've been playing it basically through the weekend and just messing around with it and having fun, and I guess doing a little bit of work, writing a review and all that stuff.
Now, forgive me if this is a dumb or naive question, but I'm not a big gamer, but does Halo, is there a point at which Halo 3 ends, or is it something that is endlessly fascinating forever as long as you have the game?
Well, there's a campaign mode, which is basically, it's single player or you can play with your friends, and that's an actual story, so it plays out kind of like a movie, except, you know, you're playing the movie, and it does end. Their tagline, their marketing line, is finish the fight. So you will actually get to finish the game, finish the fight, save the universe. I guess I spoiled it. You save the universe.
Oh,
I know. I know some people were thinking maybe.
Now
maybe
I don't need it.
It's going to end, but I ruined it. Yeah, universe gets saved.
But you can still go back and play another day, and it'll be a whole new experience for you because new stuff will happen.
Yeah, and there's multiplayer, too. So the multiplayer is just you versus a bunch of other guys trying to kill each other, and that's sort of limitless.
All right, let me ask you one more thing. And again, Hillary Goldstein is the editor-in-chief of IGN.com's Xbox channel, and IGN.com has everything about video games. How do you feel, and how do the other Halo fans feel about the movie that's in production? Is this something you are looking forward to, or something that you dread because you can't imagine how it'll live up to the fun you've had with the video game?
Well, the movie is actually not technically in production right now. They've had a lot of financing issues, so they're trying to drum up some interest and get people kind of on board with this. What you'd think if this game is going to make over $150 million in one day, that somebody would realize that there's a lot of Halo fans out there. But,
sure. Seems like a no-brainer, right?
Yeah. You know what? I think it would be cool. I think it would be awesome. I think the problem is that, you know, you don't get that interactive kind of thing with a movie, and that's sort of what people love. They like being Master Chief. They want to be the one to save the universe. And when you're watching a movie, you know, you're never really Luke Skywalker. You're just that guy making the video of you with a lightsaber, and that guy's not Luke Skywalker. That guy's a dork. You know?
No, that's a good point. I understand what you're saying there. We've just done an interview with a guy who talked about buying a video game that comes with a helmet that you can put on your cat, Kevin. That's what's on the air this morning here at K-Rock.
That is true. Wow, you're much better than I thought you were going to be, Hillary.
Well, you guys were much better than I thought you were going to be.
Oh, stop it.
That's very nice. IGN.com. Check out the Xbox channel for Hillary Goldstein. Thanks for joining us, dude. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye now. All right, let's take some calls. 1-800-520-1067. I'm positive that we have plenty of K-Rock listeners who are up at midnight, standing in line.
Oh, yeah.
Got the game, been sitting there. Maybe the radio's on in the background while you play Halo 3. What the hell is it that makes it this, I mean, really head and shoulders above any other game like this? It's not even close.
Yeah.
So we'll take your calls. 1-800-520-1067. And we have Halo 3 games to give away next.
Well, we're talking Halo 3. Today is the day of the release, the long-awaited delay. And, Kevin, you said you're sure we've got listeners out there who bought it at midnight and are probably still up and playing it. Well, let me introduce you to Chris, who's on the line with us right now on the Kevin DeBeat Show. Hey, Chris.
Hello.
How is it, dude?
The game is awesome. It's incredible.
You bought it at midnight and went right home. You've been playing it ever since.
Yeah, we're probably on the last level right now.
Last level right now?
But yeah, we.
What are you going to do tomorrow?
Play it again on a harder difficulty.
There you go.
Gotcha.
Hey, where'd you buy it last night? Wasn't there some sort of big event at Universal City or something last night?
Yeah, Universal City Walk had the LA release, the West Coast release.
And my sweet boyfriend Zach Efron from High School Musical 2 was down there hosting the thing. Am I right?
Really? I didn't see him. I was in line, and I didn't get to see too much.
This guy who's playing Halo 3 for 7.5 hours straight is more manly than you, Bean. He didn't even notice the guy was there.
That's why I would have gone down. All right, real quick, because we don't have much time. We got a lot of people on hold. What makes this game so awesome compared to all the other video games that you played in your life? What makes Halo the cream of the crop?
I would say it's mainly the tiny details that make this game so awesome, and just little tiny things that you don't really notice in other games, but after you play Halo, you notice that they're missing. Things like sound design, just how your allies work with you, even as much as they're, what they're saying and how much dialogue they have to go and talk with them.
I'm not making too much sense right now.
No, it's
way too long.
No, it's good. No, I know what you're saying, because we've heard people, you know, when people compare the Madden game, for instance, to other sports games, they say it's just, it looks so much better. I mean, you see the detail. I mean, you could see the individual strands of hair on a quarterback's head, for instance. That's how finely detailed the drawings are. And it sounds like you're saying a lot of the same sorts of things about how Halo looks.
It's not so much the look that is the detail. It's the detail of the games. There's a lot of story to these games rather than other games. I do Halo, and you're getting a really in-depth and involved story. And there's a lot of story to it. It's not presented to you on paper. It's not presented to you through the dialogue all the time.
Hey, Chris, do you have a chick?
Yes, I do have a girlfriend.
Seriously, though.
And a job?
No, I mean a girlfriend or a wife or something.
No, I don't have a wife. I'm not married at the time.
But you're claiming you have a girlfriend?
Yes.
All right.
Well, why wouldn't he? He's got a girlfriend. This is a big day for him. I understand where he's coming
just
from.
Just saying.
Well, all right, Chris, we'll let you go back and finish the game, dude. But thanks for coming on the Kevin Beach Show. We appreciate it.
Thank you. All right, we have some games to give away. Let's try and figure this out. Let's go to Diana in Los Angeles. Good morning, Diana.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
I was there last night at Universal Studios, too, and I have to tell you, these Halo people are freaking crazy.
Okay, wait a minute. You were there last night at midnight,
mm-hmm.
but when you talk about these Halo people, there are other people?
Well, I mean, there's so many of them. I mean, like, I was just standing in line minding my own business, right? And me and this other guy started talking. He's like, oh, so how long have you been playing Halo? And I'm like, I actually don't play Halo. And he's like, what the hell are you doing here? I'm like, well, you know, I love my boyfriend, so I wanted to surprise him. So I sat in line and I got it for him. Next thing you know, he's ranting and raving. Like, what kind of person are you that you don't play Halo?
That's not acceptable, right?
And on. I was like, shut up.
That is a pretty cool girlfriend right there, by the way.
No kidding. Especially since you know you're going to be ignored for the next month, right? I mean, you realize you're setting yourself up for misery here.
You know what? It's really funny because I came home and I had, like, packaged up for him and I gave it to him. And he gave me a kiss on the cheek. He's like, baby, I love you. And I haven't heard from him for the past, like, 5 hours.
By the way, I think that was her goal.
That was it.
She's tired of him talking to her, so she went and got him Halo 3 and just
maybe
said,
so.
Peace.
Well, I think you're awesome, Diana. Thank you very much for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to Ian. He is in something called RPF, whatever that is. Rancho Palos Verdes, maybe?
Ian, good morning.
Good morning.
Tell us about Halo 3. You have it?
Well, I got in line about 4 o'clock with my friends at the local GameStop right on Western. And there's only one other person there, you know, so it was pretty calm. You know, other people started showing up. It wasn't a huge line. But, you know, I waited for a good 9 or over hours. Met a lot of good people. You know, that's part of the experience.
Did you get it?
People. What was that?
Did you get the game?
Oh, yeah, I got the game.
All right.
Good on you.
Got the helmet, got everything, going to put on my cat.
You got the helmet for the cat? Dude. Rules.
Okay.
Let's go to Brian in Los Angeles. Good morning, Brian. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
What's up, party people?
Halo
3. Tell us.
What?
Tell us about Halo 3. Do you have it?
Yeah. You know what? That's what I'm tripping on, all these people that were waiting in line at midnight and all that. I got my copy on Friday.
You did?
How'd you do it?
Yeah, well, I pre-ordered from this place over on Venice, and they called me up Friday night and said, "Hey, can you make it down here to pick up your copy of Halo?" And I was like, "Well, yeah." You know, and I was supposed to be meeting my girlfriend over in Burbank, and I kind of put her off for an extra couple hours just so I could get a taste. You know, it's like crack.
Sure. Sure.
Okay. It's like video crack. Yeah.
Well, you win, man. You're the Lord of the Geeks right now. I got to tell you. Not only do you have Halo 3, you've had it since Friday. All right, man. Thank you for the call. Listen, we have to end this here, but why don't we clear these lines and give people who don't have Halo 3 a chance to call in and win their copy of the game? What do you think about
that?
That's
a great idea, yeah.
Okay, because we do have 5 copies to give away at 1-800-520-1067. And just to make it fun for Dave, the King of Mexico, who's answering the phones, we'll start with caller 100. How about that?
Yes.
Start with caller 100 at 1-800-520-1067. Win your copy from the Kevin and Bean Show. Quick break. We'll come back with Kevin Smith after this on K-Rock. So we were talking earlier today about how all the new TV shows, it seems like, are just they're tumbling out of the sky right now. It's almost impossible to keep up. We're doing the best we can to point out new shows that you ought to check out. And we're going to talk about one of them here in a minute. Is this on the same time as House, by the way? The show that we're about to talk about?
I don't know. Tonight at 9 on CW? Is that when House is on?
I think House is on at 9.
Is it?
Fox, yeah.
Wow. Brand new House tonight, too.
But we're saying watch Reaper is what we're saying because our friend Kevin Smith is directing the first episode, and it's supposed to be really, really funny on the CW network. Do we have Mr. Smith on the phone?
I do not see him yet, no. Okay. You got TiVo, dude.
You can't see him. He's on the phone, dude. You wouldn't see him anyway.
I'm saying I don't see any sign that he's here.
Now, who's seen this besides Dave the King of Mexico who took home the screener copy? Who else has
Kevin
seen it?
Kevin and I both seen
I've
it.
I've seen it, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's awesome. I really enjoyed it. I was looking forward to it, and I was not disappointed.
I got to tell you, this kind of show is the kind of show that is a swing and a miss more, to me, more often than any other type of show where they want it to be funny, but most of the time it's not. They want it to be out of this world.
It's hard to do high concept fantasy with humor always. You can do one or the other usually, but to put them both together is very difficult. And that's why I think it was genius on their part to ask Kevin Smith to direct, because this is right in his wheelhouse.
Now, is this his only participation is directing this episode?
Up to this point, apparently. Okay. I don't know whether they'll have him back or not, but they asked him to direct the pilot, and I think he did a hell of a job with it, really.
Guys, I don't want to interrupt here. I want to suggest that things are hard at K-Rock right now, but apparently we had our long distance canceled. That's why we don't have Kevin Smith on the phone, is because they can't call him long distance right now.
You're kidding.
Apparently we have no dial-out capability.
Well, can we just IM him and we'll read what he says back? what kind of world do we live in?
Listen, he's all the way in New York. I mean, I don't know how they
expect
us to...
Once they get that transcontinental telephone wire up, we're gonna have all kinds of new guests on.
Make that connection.
Should we have set up a telegram? I mean, what? Pony Maybe. Express? What Maybe. Should we have done here?
Well,
now, the show is called The Reaper, and it's on at 9. And I have to ask this, Ralph, and you knew that I would. Your advice is to do or don't fear the Reaper?
Oh dear God! How long have you been saving that one?
All off season long, I'm sure. It's the minute he read,
about 3 months.
It. Yeah,
in Italy, 3 months.
In Italy, he was like fine tuning that.
I would say don't fear the Reaper. That's what.
Okay, that's good advice.
In the words of B.O.C.
I wonder what Kevin Smith would say about that show if he was.
I got to tell you, it sounds ridiculous if we explain to you that this kid's parents sold his soul to the devil before he was born. I know that sounds crazy.
And the age of 21, the bill comes due, and the devil gets his soul and puts him to work, basically. That's what he does.
So strange things start happening to this guy. There's like an air conditioner that's falling down toward this super hot chick, and he dives and tries to save it, but he somehow knocks it out of the way, but he didn't touch it, and he can't figure out what's going on. So the devil appears in the back seat of his car, scares the hell out of him, and then,
literally devil and hell and all.
And then this kid's trying to figure out what's going on with the guy in the back seat of the car.
Did you like that in there? That thing with the air conditioner? You're like a hero now. My gift to you.
This is a carjacking. Are you carjacking me?
For this? If it was an Escalade, maybe.
You can have the car.
I don't want the car.
You can't figure out for the longest time that this is actually the devil riding in the car with him.
Well, it would be hard to comprehend something like that.
And I'll tell you, one of the strengths of this show is the casting. And the devil, Satan, is played by Ray Wise, who those of you may remember as Laura Palmer's dad on Twin Peaks.
Sure.
Yep.
He's a great actor.
He is a brilliant actor, and he brings so much humor and sort of creepiness to the role of Satan that I really think that he's going to be a big part of this series if it goes on and becomes successful.
I just like the fact that he doesn't take it in the typical devil role. Like, he's so lighthearted.
Charming as hell.
Doesn't care about anything. He's happy.
Wears a beautiful suit, nice crisp tie. He is just the smoothest devil you've ever seen.
He was awesome and creepy on 24 last season, too. Remember, he was the president's right-hand man. Hey, is this him on the phone? Do we have Kevin Smith?
Well, hopefully. I have one note saying none of the lines are working, cannot call, and the other one is Kevin Smith. Kevin, are you there?
Hello, gentlemen.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, wow. Dude, we didn't pay the bill. Apparently, we really can't call long distance today. I don't know what the deal is, but this is the most low-rent radio station we've ever worked at, Kevin. I apologize to you as a guest on it.
Sir, you don't have to tell me. I've been there. I know.
That's true. That's true.
You know how low red.
Now you know why we usually have you come in, Kevin, because our phones don't work.
No doubt. And yet, oddly enough, you can still pipe that dude in from Seattle.
That's correct.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Now listen,
the one phone line we would like to go down, and we can never get that one disconnected somehow.
We just spent 4 minutes talking about your show, 4 minutes playing clips and hyping it up for tonight at 9 on the CW. Kevin and Ralph have both seen it and love it. But we do have one question for you, and that is, what is your participation beyond directing tonight's episode?
I mean, you can kind of see my steez all over it, my flavor, if you will. But I didn't write it like these two girls, Tara and Michelle, came up with the whole thing. But, you know, I kind of, while we were shooting it, I was like, look, I know a little something about making a movie with two dudes who talk about weird things.
Right, sure.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of that. I mean, I think I got hired because they thought that Dogma was kind of a companion piece to it, and as much as that's about real people who deal with supernatural characters and whatnot. But and the casting. I guess the cast came in because they liked me. Like, we got Brett and we got Tyler, who plays Sam and Sock, and Rick, who plays Ben, because they were all fans of the stuff I'd done in the past. And I kept telling them while we were shooting, I was like, dude, I'm just doing the pilot. Like, if the show gets picked up, I won't be around. So if you're taking the job because you like Clerks, like, you may wind up getting screwed. They're like, this show will never get on the air.
One of the things I like about these characters is they talk just like I would. And right. This is where the lead character is trying to explain to his friends what happened.
My parents sold my soul to the devil.
How drunk are you?
Totally sober.
How drunk am I?
You know, Kevin, it does kind of play like Kevin Smith's greatest hits. There's a little Clerks in there. There's some Dogma. This is right in your wheelhouse, this thing.
It's totally in my wheelhouse. It's basically like the PG-rated version, or the PG-13, if you will, rated version of what I normally do.
Try to explain. I was going to try this, and thank God I don't have to. Try to explain to people the whole thing about the, sending the souls back to hell and how they do it in the box and the thing with the deal.
They get a vessel. The devil gives them a vessel to collect in the pilot episode. This guy was this arsonist who escaped from hell and is running around town burning things down. And he gives him a dirt devil. That like one of those handheld vacs.
It's like this really mini creepy vac. Box, and they open it up. It's a red mini vac.
Yeah.
And basically, they spend most of the episode trying to figure out how to use it to make it like how to. They figure like they're supposed to vacuum it somehow, but it can't work. And what you find out is they forgot to plug it in.
Yeah. You think there's some mystical reason why it's not operating, and they just needed a recharger, basically.
It's a really funny show, but the weird thing is like critics seem to really dig it.
It's great.
Like it winds up being one of the best reviewed shows the new season. That and Pushing Daisies are like neck and neck for critical hosannas. I was kind of shocked by that.
But you're
when
saying
I was making it, when we were doing it, I was just like, there's no way the CW is going to pick it up, because they have a show called Supernatural, which is about two dudes, one of whom is even named Sam, who run around, you know, fighting monsters. And I was like, this is just the comedic tongue-in-cheek version of that show, and that show looks good, man. It's like slick and polished, looks like a movie. Our show looks like I made it. So I never figured they'd pick it up, but for some reason they dug it.
So let me see if I got this straight, though. You're saying enjoy it now because episodes two on
I can't
are a crapshoot.
Yeah, I can't speak for episodes two on because I only did the first one, but I mean, you like those guys so much, how could it not be good every week? I mean, if you like the pilot,
which I love,
basically it's a monster of the week kind of show, so it's just, I think it's going to just be the same thing over and over again with different jokes each time, and they can build a mythology around it. Like, I know the girls are really interested in kind of crafting a universe and kind of telling weird backstory and connecting episodes up, because they both came from the X-Files.
Oh,
so,
no,
you know, this is their comedic version of the X-Files to some degree.
But, Kevin, awesome. You know, I was just saying I'd watch it every week just to watch Ray Wise play Satan.
Isn't he tremendous?
He is awesome in
that
this.
That dude is so awesome, and it was so cool to work with him, because I was a huge, and still remain a huge, Twin Peaks fan.
Yeah.
So between takes, I would just constantly talk about him killing Laura Palmer.
Sure.
Where's Bob?
I love that.
To point out that he's like, Kevin, it wasn't me. It was Bob. I was inhabited by the spirit of Bob. I was like, come on, Ray. It was you.
Fire walk with me.
That is,
he's such a good guy. That dude is such a class act. And we saw so many people come through, really big names, too, who were willing to like do a TV show to play the devil because they kind of liked the part. But he and most of them played it in a kind of mustache-twisting kind of way. He was the only dude that came through. And his take on the devil was like, well, he's basically just a very insincere, yet sincere, used car salesman.
Right. My favorite moment is where he's making a chicken fried steak, and he says, just thank God I don't have arteries.
Yeah.
By the way, mustache twirling and critical hosannas, both of those have come out of Kevin Smith's mouth during this conversation, which I'm very impressed with. Listen, we're almost out of time because we used it all up before you got on the phone, but Reaper airs tonight at 9 o'clock on the CW. And real quick, for Kevin Smith fans, you should know this already if you've been to viewaskew.com, but today's the day the book comes out, right, Kevin? My Boring Ass Life is in stores?
My Boring Ass Life comes out. And I'm going to come in hopefully and see you guys when I get back next week, because we're having a signing at the Stash in Westwood on October 6th. So, of course, I'm going to come in the Friday before and try to whore that event.
You know you're always welcome.
But watch Reefer tonight, man. It's a good show. Like, I'm proud of it. Really proud of it.
I got to tell you, this is the time of year when your head spins. There's too much new. You can't get your head around a lot of it. This is one of those that I am definitely going to watch every week because it's fantastic.
So, and that's the show. TiVo was made for the show.
Yes, it was.
All right, Kevin. Listen, we got to go, man.
People should watch it live, though, right? Because that'd be better.
That'd be much better for the network. I'm sure the network's like, don't say TV.
Exactly. We have to help Kevin along every once in a while.
Every once in a while, I forget that there's a business behind all this.
Yes.
All right, I'll see you guys when I come in, like in a week and a half.
Fantastic.
Thanks.
Sounds
for
good.
Me.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, man.
Bye.
Thank you, Lisa. 7:59. This place blows.
It's getting worse every day.
We're not exaggerating. We can't call long distance.
I know they like to keep us on as a local show, but that's really pushing it.
Kevin Smith is in New York. We can't figure out how to link up with New York on some kind of futuristic telephone system. What the hell?
Yeah. Well, it all worked out. At least nothing will change today after this after what just happened. It'll still be like this tomorrow. At least we can count on that. That's the good thing about working here. All right. I mentioned Ask a Mexican coming straight up. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Tuesday morning. What's happening, Ralph?
You know, we're talking about television. You got The Reaper tonight at 9. You got House, best goddamn show on television. Brand new episode of House tonight, where he's interviewing people for his new team, which I'm very excited about.
Oh, yeah.
Did they jettison those three people?
Yes, but apparently they're coming back this season. I don't know whether as his immediate subordinates or not, or whether they'll just be working at the hospital.
Okay.
But apparently tonight's episode, very entertaining. But then I also want to check out Kane, that new show with Jimmy Smith. It's about the family that runs the sugar plantation.
Yeah. What is that? I don't know much about that.
It's a show on CBS. It's a epic sort of family drama about this Puerto Rican family that has a sugar plantation. And they're saying sugar is the new oil because a lot of countries, not this one, of course, but are using sugar ethanol as the new fuel for their automobiles and stuff, like in Brazil and countries like that. So they've got that going. Plus, they also make rum from sugar cane. So they have this multi-million-dollar empire, and Smits plays the adopted son of this man who owned this plantation, who passes it on to him instead of his natural son. And there's sort of a Cain and Abel relationship between the two,
that sounds cool.
two brothers.
When's that on?
Tonight also. On CBS. So I'm horked. But I think that's on a 10, so I think maybe you can catch that one.
Oh, that helps.
There's a lot going on, TV-wise. I wonder if Dave the King of Mexico saw Kane.
He's seen
it.
I'm
sure he's seen everything else. Yeah. I took it home. I watched it. It's very spicy. It's got a weird way to describe television when you ask him about reviews of the show. It's like, I found it colorful. What? Just tell me, what was it? I liked it. Very paper mache. What? Just odd. I mentioned the last hour, my favorite new clip of all that's on the internet is the Swedish television scene of the girl hosting the live game show who proceeds to violently projectile vomit while she's talking to someone on the phone, a home viewer.
It is spectacular.
It's magical. You won't believe how wonderful it is. And it's not even like, I mean, I don't like gross things. It's not even that gross. It's kind of gross because it's throw up.
Sure.
But it's more like almost a special effect than it is really someone getting sick. So anyway, I mentioned that last hour and a bunch of people went out on the internet and found it. God bless them. And there was one young lady who speaks Swedish.
Oh, good. Because I want to know what she was saying.
Me too. Because she obviously speaks in Swedish. And so she translated it for me. She goes, you won't believe it. It gets worse. She does throw up, and when she comes back on and she's laughing, the reason she apologizes to the caller, the reason she said she felt ill is because she was on her period.
Oh, no!
And then talks about her period for like another 6 minutes.
Wow.
I'm moving to Sweden. They got the best television ever over there.
It's very different.
The Swedes have no shame is how she closed her email, and apparently that's true.
I guess.
So look for that, won't you? Speaking of periods, Miley Cyrus.
That was
Disney's
smooth.
Hannah Montana. Is still getting hers. No one panic. Rumors were rampant on the internet yesterday that the 14-year-old Disney star was pregnant. However, that is not the case. It's all a hoax. She's a victim of the hoax, as is the website on which the story initially allegedly broke, because that website was digitally altered by someone who hacked into it and placed the story on their site.
Wow.
So it seemed as if it was a fake interview with Miley Cyrus where she admitted to being pregnant. But in truth, that's not the case at all. So everyone relax.
Whore.
No.
She's a whore, okay?
Okay. Janet Jackson, according to Star Magazine, is becoming paranoid.
That girl's fat.
anymore.
Paranoid about what?
She's back. She's fat again.
She says she's being watched by hidden cameras all the time. She demands to have private entrances and exits from all events that she attends, and she has people screened, their backgrounds, and with metal detectors before they can meet her. Dude, it's the Jackson family curse.
Wow.
They all get crazy at a certain age, apparently. But that's a little disturbing.
Yeah.
No one cares that much, Janet. Trust me.
No.
Jessica Simpson's in therapy. Star Magazine once again says that Jess is worried about the fact that she can't keep a man. She said she needed some professional help to figure things out. And so she went to see a therapist, and the therapist said, shut the F up!
Brat. I'm not a brat.
You're a spoiled brat.
I am not. I'm a nice girl.
You're a bratty girl.
I treat you very nice. I hate you right now.
Boo frickin' who. You know what? Sob, sob, sob. There's always something wrong. Whatever I do, there's always something wrong.
Baby, would you stop saying
no.
God.
Can imagine why she has trouble keeping a man.
Her therapist should just play that show for her.
She's just charming as a heck. Charming as all get out. And Kiefer Sutherland is in a bit of trouble. Now, I don't mean just having to save the world with TCI on his cell phone or XKU or whatever that organization is he works for.
I think it's CTU?
Yes, okay. You say that's so. Right. He got popped for DUI in West Hollywood this morning. 1:10 a.m. on the corner of La Cienega and Beverly. Cops pulled him over and found that he had been overserved.
You got a problem, lady.
Oops. Yeah, lady.
lady.
Kiefer, you woman, you. Not everything needs a sound bite.
You need to stop it, and you need to stop it right now.
Apparently, he did take a breathalyzer, and cops say he blew twice the legal limit.
That's what she said.
Kiefer was transported to the Hollywood police station and released on bail, but in a world of pain right now. So that's got to be the worst hangover ever.
Yeah.
When you're all loaded up on scotch, and then you finally sober up and say, what did I do last night?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Where are my pants? Where are my shoelaces and my belt? Today's celebrity birthday is Michael Douglas. You know him.
Yes, we do.
He's been
multiple Oscar winner.
Bunch of movies. He's 63 years old today. His wife, Catherine Zeta-Jones, the lovely Catherine Zeta-Jones, is 38 years old today.
You know, we're kind of used to them being together, but when I stop and listen to you say he's 63 today, she's 38 today, it's still creepy.
Yeah, that's 25 years. He's got 25 years on it.
Good for him.
Although, all things being said, he's a pretty youthful 63.
Yes.
I mean, he doesn't look like your average 63-year-old. Mm-hmm. The rich have that advantage over the rest of us. They can age gracefully. Will Smith is 39 years old today. Heather Locklear turns 46. If you ever get a chance to meet Psycho Mike in person, ask him about his Heather Locklear story.
That'll quite a chunk.
Keep you entertained for an hour and a half.
Dear God.
She's 46 years old today.
It's a 10-second story that takes 90 minutes to tell.
Yeah, if you guys didn't interrupt me the entire time.
And Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker in the Star Wars films. He is 56 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, and the return of our old friend Gustavo Arellano. He, of course, the author of Ask a Mexican, the book and the column. Very popular syndicated column that started out in the Orange County Weekly. How you been, Gustavo? How you doing, man?
Good. Just traveling all across the place.
And nobody shooting at you? Nobody trying to arrest you, throw you in a bag, take you back over the border? Everything's fine?
Well, it actually happened this morning. I'm a little bit late, and that's because the Border Patrol stopped me at a San Clemente crossing when you go up the 5 freeway.
Yes. Sure.
I had to give my passport, give a DNA sample, then take a loyalty oath. That's why I'm late. Sorry.
That seems a little extreme. We've ripped off your idea in 100 different ways, just so you know. But once we started doing Ask a Mexican, it took us three times of having you in? He's written a book called Ask a Mexican. And now we're starting to do other Ask a series.
Yes,
we did
Axe
a Black.
You heard about Axe a Black, right, Gustavo?
I got all these emails from people saying, hey, Kevin and Bean ripped you off. And I said, I don't mind if they ripped me off because they have me on the show, so they could do whatever they want with me, basically.
We've never more blatantly ripped anyone off. But here's my favorite part. We received emails saying that you were ripping us off.
Oh, my God.
And we were like, the guy's had the column. He's got a book out. Really? If anyone's ripping off, it's us. We're ripping him off.
Gustavo, you know we're doing Ask a Hooker, we're doing Ask a Blind Guy, we got Ask a Prisoner, and we have so many things ahead that we just can't wait to get to.
You have to do Ask an Armenian.
Yes, I think
sure.
We do.
We'll do that.
Absolutely.
Ask a hermaphrodite. We got that on the way. Ask a Mormon. Ask an inmate. Ask an atheist. We have a long list of people that we want to ask, but it did all come from your brain.
A long list of ripoffs. Thank you.
So we do.
We are giving you the credit.
We do thank you for that.
Yeah. So what, since the last time we saw you, Gustavo, and I know you've been touring the world and answering your mail and everything, what new insane question did you get from the gabachos that you want to share with us today?
Oh, geez. They just come again and again and again. I still say the best one of the past couple of months is why are Mexican men more prone to rape than white men?
Oh, my God. Really? Somebody wrote that?
Absolutely. I answered that question a couple of months ago. And if you listen to Congress, they're always going to cite this statistic saying that 93 sex offenders cross the border every day and that there's 1 million sex offenders who are illegal immigrants in this country. And, of course, you say illegal immigrant, you mean Mexicans. And so I actually went through the stats. And if you want to break it down, out of all Latinos in prison, 11% of them are in prison for sex crimes. Out of all gabachos, out of all white men, people in prison, 22% of them are in prison for sex crimes. So if we want to play the game, we could say that white men are twice as likely to rape than Mexicans. But we're not going to play that game.
Where are they getting their statistics?
Well, from these people who say they're objective and they're skewing the facts. Because stats are like Mexican. You just give them a little bit of tequila, some magazines, and you can do whatever you want with them.
Do you think that people sometimes are just... I mean, I the way I was raised, I can't imagine sitting down seriously to ask... that stupid of a question.
Hearing that statistic and believing it.
No, but do you think people like you're sitting down and going, this is going to make them laugh?
No.
This will be funny.
You could tell the people who send in those questions like that. Like another favorite question of mine is a guy wrote in and said, why are Mexicans always so damn happy? Like, that's a question. Come on. That's supposed to make me laugh. That's supposed to get
right.
The column. But stuff, like the really racist stuff, no, those people are really
they
earnest.
And
they
send serious,
me,
huh?
Yeah, they send me questions again and again. They send me these stats. They send me these doctored things, or you know, if you're a real American, pass it on. So these people really are serious when they send me those questions.
Let me bring up one more before we take a break and go to the phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. People are already calling in. If you've got a question for Gustavo, if you want to ask a Mexican, I don't remember what your answer was, but you had a column one time where somebody wrote in and asked why Mexican girls are the most beautiful women on the planet, yet somehow they end up being old hags. What was your answer to that question? How do they age so poorly?
Not old hags, fat old bags.
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
That's exactly what it was.
Wow.
No, my response to that was that the Mexican women from Mexico themselves, they're the ones who stay okay. It's their daughters, the daughters who become American and the daughters who get another Mexican, namely their mom, to do all the household chores while they go off and, you know, go eat or go to community college and take classes that really don't send them to a college degree. Because Mexican women, they're all hard workers, and it's been shown that when you have the first immigrants come here, they're going to be very hardworking. But once they become more American, they become lazier, they become fatter.
Oh, so it's our fault. That's what you're saying.
Oh, of course. When it comes to Mexican,
so it's whitey's trouble. That's what you're saying.
It's whitey's trouble, totally. We become whitey like you, so that's what happens.
Oh, that's
bad. We want more Salma Hayeks in the world. I think that's really what the point is of that question, I think.
Yeah, well, just more Salma Hayeks, just let more Mexicans come into this country.
All right, then. Good enough. And you know what we should do is just track down the people that send you those stupid questions and kick them out of America.
Seriously.
That's what we should do.
Send them to Madagascar.
All right. Ask a Mexican, 1-800-520-1067. Gustavo Arellano is here, and we will start taking some calls.
Mexican Americans don't like to get up early. I'm on a
Mexican radio. Did somebody order Mexican?
1-800-520-1067 is the phone number if you'd like to ask a Mexican. The Mexican in question is Gustavo Arellano, who is, of course, the creator of Ask a Mexican, the column, the book, the website, and I'm sure a major motion picture coming soon. I can't imagine.
Who do you want
to play you, Gustavo? Who do you have in mind?
You know what? I always thought about that. Wilmer Valderrama.
Oh,
perfect.
That's a nice
choice. Perfect casting.
Yeah, because he's a geek like me. He has much more fun with the women than I do, unfortunately.
More fun than anyone,
yeah,
really.
Yeah,
with the women.
So I'm trying to project myself onto him.
Okay.
You're never going to get me anymore, I'll tell you that. Let's start with Jason in Westwood on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Jason, good morning. Ask a Mexican. You're on with Gustavo.
Hey, good morning. I don't know if this is Mexican-specific so much, but how come Hispanic, like, for example, news reporters, will speak perfect English and then out of nowhere drop in, like, some, you know, Spanish word and with like the intense accent.
They
like
do
the
over enunciation,
like Hernanda Valenzuela. Or, yes. Yeah, just over enunciating it.
But everything else is
is perfect English.
Yeah,
perfect
standard English, right.
I think it's revenge, frankly, for years and years of decades of newscasters just mispronouncing everything else, like my name, Arellano, or, you know, Rodriguez, or just really messing it up. So I think these Latino broadcasters now are just trying to be as fluent as possible, especially most of the times they're going to be Latinos who are doing it. So it's just a matter of pronouncing things correctly. We're not, you know, when... If on Spanish language newscasts, they're trying to pronounce it correctly. Unfortunately, they have the really thick accent. So you say, you know, what would be a good one? Jim Han, you know, the old mayor of Los Angeles, Jim Han, which is Jim Han or something like that.
Right.
So.
but when you talk about pronouncing it correctly, though, I mean, you can say Los Angeles is the correct pronunciation. But in the United States, the city is really now called Los Angeles. Well, and shouldn't on an English language newscast, shouldn't it be referred to as Los Angeles, not Los Angeles?
Los Angeles. Well, yeah, on English language, I think that's what happens. And even these Latino broadcasters, they're going to pronounce the words that have already been assimilated into the United States. Right. In English, so you're not going to pronounce San Francisco as San Francisco. You're right. Going to do that on Univision, but not on KNBC4 or anything like that.
Gotcha.
All right, thank you, Jason.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. Oh, we got so many calls in so little time. Who do you like next, Kevin?
I like Bob in Calabasas. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, good morning, Kevin, Dean, Lisa.
Hi, Bob.
You're on with Gustavo.
Hey, Gustavo, why do Mexicans litter so much? I'm in construction, and it's rampant. It's everywhere.
Okay, think about Mexicans. What are their jobs they usually do? It's menial labor. They pick up trash. They're dishwashers. They do all that stuff. When they go home, when they want to live on their day-to-day lives, they're not going to be doing that. That's the last thing they want to do. They're not going to pick up after themselves. In fact, that's why they hire Guatemalans to do it for themselves. So if Mexicans are littering, it's the Guatemalans who aren't picking up the slack. So, hey, Guatemalans, come on.
Don't make us
look bad.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to line 7. We've got Josh on the line. He's from Brea. Hi, Josh. Ask a Mexican. You're on with Gustavo.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Hi, Josh.
Hi. My question is, why are Mexican guys so strong, even though they don't usually work out?
A lot of Mexican guys do work out. They're just not going to let you know about it. But again, going back to a lot of the jobs that Mexicans do have, a lot of blue collar jobs. If you're a construction worker, my God, you're going to get muscles on you. My mom, for instance, she was a tomato canner for about 35 years. Short woman, about 5 foot. She could take on anybody. I mean, she had muscles like you wouldn't believe.
Wow.
With repetitive stuff, you're going to get muscles. Now, if you sit in front of a keyboard, on the other hand, the only muscles that you're going to get are, the only things that you're going to get are carpal tunnel syndrome.
Sure.
Just from your fingers.
Right.
Yeah, so it's just the jobs that we do.
So if you're out there as a landscaper 40 hours a week, yeah, that's a lot of exercise. That's going to keep you in pretty good shape.
Yeah, you're going to get ripped, and you're going to have a really nice tan, too. It's a perfect job. Come on, landscaping.
Kim in Fullerton, good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
Good morning, Gus.
Hey, Hi, what's Lisa? Up?
Hello, Kim.
What's your question?
I want to know why Mexicans wear socks with their sandals.
By the way, that's not just Mexicans.
No.
It's not? No.
I see that more actually with white people with their Birkenstocks. I actually thought, though, you were going to ask, why do Mexicans wear their socks all the way up to their knees?
Well, that's another.
That too.
Yeah, I mean, that one I could actually answer. That actually comes from prison. In prison, back in the 40s or 50s or for whatever reason, that was a style at the time. And so a lot of the people who went to prisons, they'd go back to their barrios in East Los Angeles or Santa Ana for that matter. And that would be the style. So their younger brothers, they started dressing like that. And that's something that's documented in a book.
No kidding.
Barrio Gang, Street Life and Identity in Southern California by James Diego Vigila, professor at UC Irvine.
How about
Alrighty.
That?
All right.
Thank you for the call.
Let me give you a couple of email questions real quick, Gustavo, that you can help our listeners with that can't get through on the phones. Michelle writes in, hey, guys, I couldn't call in. I want to know why Mexican men think it's okay to make the shushing sound when a younger woman walks by. I'm Mexican, and I don't even understand that. What sound is she talking about?
Oh, yeah.
And what's that? That's just a way of saying check her out?
No, they're just trying to get her attention. They're trying to basically flirt with her. And, of course, the women, they don't care because the guys who are doing it are Mexican. And if it was a hotter white guy, I'm sure we wouldn't be getting these questions in the first place. Mexicans are just more blunt about expressing their sexual attraction to someone than other people. And
right.
They're going to be much more loud about it, actually.
It's because of all the raping they do, we learned on today's show, right?
Oh, yeah.
And David writes in, here's a question for Gustavo. Why does every Mexican have a cousin named Chewy? And is it the same Chewy?
No, there's many, many Chewies all across the world. You know, the real question here is why do Mexicans think it's okay to call their children Jesus? Because Chewy, it's the nickname for Jesus, which of course is Jesus. And the reason is because in the Mexican Catholic theology, Jesus, he's not really a big player in Catholic theology in Mexico. Really, the person on top is a Virgin of Guadalupe. I mean, that trumps everything. And then number two would be God, and then Jesus really is a distant third. But because of that, we have all those names. Guadalupe is a name that's used for both men and women, and Jesus is just something that's viewed as okay to be called, you know, to call a Mexican boy.
Isn't that interesting? Jesus is not the center of the Catholic religion in Mexico, you're saying?
Yeah, go to...
He's just below Morrissey.
That's right. If you go to a church in like the small villages of Mexico, a lot of times the image of the Virgin of Guadalupe is right at the front of, you know, right in front of the altar and much bigger than the crucifix, as is, you know, in most Catholic churches, the crucifix, it's the primary thing. In Mexican churches,
right.
Yeah, the centerpiece. In Mexican churches in Mexico, the Virgin of Guadalupe is usually number one.
Interesting.
That's interesting because that's the candle that you see the most for sale, too, when you ever go into the Mexican stores. You know, you see the Virgin Guadalupe candles. All right, let's close with one more. This is Brenda. She's down on line 7. She is in Fullerton. And I think this is a thinly veiled question about you, Gustavo. So listen up. Good morning, Brenda.
It is a little bit about Gustavo. I want to know why all Mexican males that are professionals or intellectuals sound gay.
You know what, honey? I don't know. But you want to see my girlfriend with double D's and ask her if I'm gay?
Nice.
Yeah, bring it on.
Nice.
Oh, Gustavo fights back.
Yeah, go to roadlesstraveledstore.com. That's my girlfriend's store. Shameless plug. Then you could find her name, Google images of her, and you tell me what's up, honey.
Well, she's a beard. That's what's up. I think we all know the answer to that.
All right, I have one last question. How come De La Hoya is wearing women's clothes now? What's going on with that?
Isn't he denying it, or is he now, or is he not denying it?
I don't think he's responded yet.
You can't deny it. They're pictures.
I think it's one of those things where you get so much money, you start acting out on the deepest, darkest fantasies you ever had.
You're bored with regular whatever?
Regular women, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so he just does that. I saw those images. Well, he was always a pretty boy. That's actually one reason why Mexican immigrants never liked him, because he was a pretty boy. You look at the other boxers like Julio Cesar Chavez, they're ugly as hell, but they're brawlers. And
right.
So that's why he was never really liked in the Mexican community.
Oh.
Yeah.
Listen, I know what that's like to be too beautiful to be liked. No, wait.
Well, listen, Gustavo is doing good work out there with his Ask a Mexican, and I guess askamexican.net is the best place to start to track down all of your wonderful activities with the work you're doing, right?
Yes.
Plus, the book is out there, and thank you for letting us steal from you. And just to set the record straight, we are stealing from him.
Okay. And you guys are now acting like Mexicans by stealing from me.
Oh,
so,
fantastic.
We're all Mexicans here.
Thanks, Gustavo.
Thanks.
8:49 on the Kevin and Bean Show, 106.7 KROQ. It's Tuesday morning. Another chance for you to win tickets for Velvet Revolver and Alice in Chains coming up between 9 and 10. And you're eligible for the grand prize drawing for the party, too. Or do you win the tickets to the party at the same time? I didn't read the memo. I'm sorry. Anyone know?
Don't ask us.
Okay.
How do you not know the details of our own contest?
I don't care. I lost interest
okay,
a long time
there
ago.
You go.
All right, listen to this. This is huge. Today's actually a red letter day on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to try something we've never tried before. And I know what you're thinking. Guys, I've heard everything you've got. Well, you're wrong, because Kevin, our own Kevin, Ralph, is in the other room prepared to do the voice bit at the end of this conversation that we're about to have.
I couldn't be more excited, because, you know, usually it falls on me to be the guy at the other end of the voice, the other end of the phone playing, you know, a talking flea or, you know, a piece of drywall or whatever you guys are interviewing on a given day. And now I get a chance to play Kevin's role, and Kevin will be doing the me part and doing the voice on the other end. I'm very excited.
And I know what you're asking. You've got to tell it like Ralph, a professional on the show. Why give it to Kevin? Because we found a story that plays into Kevin's strength of the one voice bit that he does, which is the Queen of England. You know how he loves doing the Queen of England on our show, and that plays very nicely into this bit. So before we call him, I'll allow you to be Kevin as you tell the story, Ralph.
I get to play Kevin?
You're playing Kevin before we call him, yes.
Well, in preparation, I have not read this story at all until just now, until we got on the air.
Okay. Excellent.
So here we go. A 9-year-old boy who underwent an emergency brain surgery woke up sans his strong Yorkshire accent and speaking in the Queen's English, according to this story out of the UK.
So he had a Yorkshire, England accent before he had some sort of a brain event, an aneurysm or something, a stroke, right? And then they did the surgery on him, and he woke up and he talked just like the Queen.
Right. A Yorkshire accent is a very sort of working class accent, and since this surgery, he now speaks in English just like the Queen, they say.
Wow.
Okay. He had an abscess on his brain known as a subdural empyemanoma.
I don't think that's right. Isn't it empyema
Something
like that?
Yeah.
Okay. Playing the Kevin part.
Yeah, exactly.
I gotcha.
Which is caused by a rare strain of meningitis, and it was a life-threatening operation to take away the fluid on his brain. And when he recovered, spoke just like the Queen.
All right. Well, let's dial up the young man right now, shall we? This is William McCartney Moore, I guess is the name.
Mm-hmm.
William McCartney Moore. Let's dial him up in England and see what the young boy has to say to us.
9 years old
in London.
We're here. No dial. No dialing going on. Or
any dial tone.
Let's just assume he's on the phone. Oh, now we're dialing.
It's ringing. It's dialing. It's dialing and ringing. There's dial tones. It's very strange. The phones in England don't operate like those here in the United States.
Wasn't there a clue, Mike, when I said let's dial him up that maybe that's when the sound effect should have come
this
in?
This is just like Kevin was here.
Exactly. That's what he's doing.
It's sad. We're recreating. Hello.
Hello.
Cheerio.
Cheerio.
Cheerio, England.
We're calling for William, please. Is this William?
No, this is his brother, Alex. Harry Potter, wizards, muggles, fish and chips, crumpets and tea.
Hey, Alex.
Yes?
I'm pretty sure I'm the only one that speaks like the Queen.
Oh, yeah. All right. William, are you here?
All right, Dave, the King of Mexico, please hand the phone to Kevin so we can get this bit going.
Hello there.
Hello, William.
Hello. My loyal subjects.
So you're 9 years old and you didn't
Hello.
Used to you didn't used to talk like this before the surgery?
Hello.
William, when did you first notice? No.
Oh, no.
Kevin's hitting the stop the bit light, but it's not going to work. Kevin, when did you
I did not know Kevin.
William, when did you first notice that things were different after the operation?
I was building a sandcastle, and all of a sudden I started talking like this.
He did read the article.
I have blue blood. I'm better than everyone else. Hello.
So you are the queen.
I'm going to have a fag now.
It is Kevin.
Thank you, Lisa. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Bee. What's going on, Ralph?
Are the only things that we use the highways for here in Southern California
yes.
to transport ladders, sofas, and mattresses?
Pretty yes. much.
And dogs.
And dogs, yeah. Exactly.
And the only reason people get on the freeways.
And my thought is always this. It's always a mattress. Sometimes it's other... But all if you're taking furniture, I don't care how you have it tied down, it's not good enough.
You're going to lose it.
So, I don't know. Maybe tie it down a little extra.
Yeah. Or spend the $29.95 and rent the U-Haul it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
stop
there you
like
go.
7,000 cars, you know, a minute have to sit there because your ass can't tie down a couch.
Unreal. Kiefer Sutherland popped for DUI this morning.
Guilty, 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 guilty!
Well, it doesn't look good for him. TMZ.com reports that he was stopped at 1:10 a.m. at the corner of La Cienega and Beverly. Man, I've been there some nights, I'll tell you. Glad Kiefer was running interference for me. That's all I got to say. His blood level alcohol, or his blood alcohol level, was apparently twice the legal limit of 0.08. That's not good.
No.
He was arrested for misdemeanor DUI and transported to the Hollywood police station, where he was later released on bail. So, this story will be developing, and just bad news. He seems like a good guy. Good actor.
He
does.
Guy.
Yeah.
Popular show.
He's just going to call the president and get it called off. I don't know why we're even bothering.
Dude. If he can trust the president.
Yeah.
Good point. Yeah.
I was going to say, he's lucky it's not a Chinese DUI, because he had a hard time getting out of that cell. I'll tell you.
That's true.
He'll never get out of that one. Miley Cyrus, Billy Ray Cyrus' daughter and the star of Disney's Hannah Montana TV series, is not pregnant, in spite of what you read on the internet yesterday. It was a big deal. The rumor just took off. Because apparently it was seen on a legitimate website called J14, a digital magazine, which had an interview with Miley, and she admitted that she was pregnant. However, the hoax was not only on Miley, but on the website itself. Someone hacked into their website and digitally altered it to include the interview with Miley that's saying that she was going to take good care of her baby. She had already gained 7 pounds, and she was in real shock when it happened. But apparently not pregnant. She's going to be on tour later this year, and all is well. So no one panic. David Hasselhoff's wife, or ex-wife rather, Pamela Buck, turned herself into the LAPD yesterday afternoon, was booked on hit-and-run charges.
Dude.
Reportedly, she fled the scene after crashing her Mercedes into a parked car back in January. And I guess they finally decided that was against the law, so they...
That's been a while.
They asked her to please come in. Oh,
how can you get 9 months to show up, by the way?
I don't know. Seems bad, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vanilla Ice hasn't been behaving himself lately either.
I'm sorry.
Vanilla Ice.
I thought you just said the words vanilla
oh,
and
wait
ice.
A minute. I'm sorry. This showbiz beat is from 1985. Apparently, the New York Post said that in the past few months, he's gotten caught with an expired driver's license, going 30 miles an hour over the speed limit in one section, having no registration for his vehicle, driving in the carpool lane while alone, and having illegally tinted windows.
Dude.
Guy drives like lightning.
He's going down for those windows, by the way. That's the worst thing.
Yeah.
Big remember time. Him on The Surreal Life, you guys? Remember what a bitter old man he's become?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to do that Ice Ice Baby song anymore.
No, he doesn't.
I got the impression that that Ice Ice Baby, that that huge hit and that huge album that accompanied it, was the worst thing that ever happened to him.
He does act like that.
Yeah, he doesn't want to deal with it. And Ryan Cabrera.
Oh, no.
Is now studying Scientology.
Yes.
That's good.
Smart. Now, which one is he, Ralph?
He's Ryan of the Cabrera family.
Right, but what is he famous
for?
No,
all
is
the Cabreras. He's Ryan.
Is he a singer or actor? What is he? Which one is what is
singer.
He?
Singer.
Okay.
Singer? Ralph doesn't know. He's
a singer?
He's probably most well known for being Ashley Simpson's original boyfriend. When they were doing Ashley Simpson's reality show, her short-lived reality show.
Yes.
Gotcha.
He was her boyfriend and aspiring musician guy.
He's now dating Riley Keough, who is Lisa Marie Presley's daughter.
Okay.
And Lisa Marie Presley is a big Scientologist, as is Riley. And so he has passed the first level and is continuing on to please his girlfriend, according to Star Magazine.
If he has enough money to move on to level two, right?
If he writes a big enough check. It's Bean at krock.com.
It all began 75 million years ago. There was a galactic federation of planets, which was ruled over by the evil Lord Zemu. He rounded up countless aliens from all different planets and then had those aliens frozen. The cruisers then took the frozen alien bodies to our planet, Earth. At the dawn of man, the souls finally found bodies which they could grab onto. They attached themselves to all mankind, which still to this day causes all our fears, our confusions, and our problems.
The lengths that a guy will go to for a chick.
That's legitimate.
I'll
that
tell
makes
you.
Sense. Can you imagine him in class? Yes, all right, Zenu captured all the souls. Honey, you happy? You good? Great. Okay. Today's celebrity birthdays. Michael Douglas turned 63 years old today. His smoking hot Welsh wife, Catherine Zeta-Jones, is 38. Will Smith, my fellow Philadelphian. We're probably the two most famous Philadelphians, I'm thinking. Me and Will.
You and Will?
Yeah.
Sure.
He's 39 years old today. Heather Locklear turns 46. And Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker. From the legendary Star Wars movies, he is 56 years old today. Lightning has asked me to remind everyone he also starred in Corvette Summer.
Of course,
oh,
Lightning did.
His
favorite movie of all time.
Favorite movie of all time. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
How was Foo Fighters last night, Kevin? You were going to go to the show, I remember.
It was really good. They were energetic.
Yeah, he's pretty damn perky for having gone to the show last night at midnight.
No, I was out. I had other stuff to do. I have a really busy week, and that would have killed me. You guys know I can't really pull off the whole...
That's how we know you didn't go, because you're actually coherent today.
So I called back, and I talked to the music department. I was like, I'm sure you can find someone else to use those tickets. She was like, thank you, well, thank you, because everybody wanted to go. So
of course.
Yeah, you missed out, dude.
But we are doing... Did you go?
No.
But we are doing a breakfast with them coming up, so that's...
Yeah, Dave Grohl brought it up himself yesterday when he was in our studio, so apparently that is really going to happen this time. We're very excited about that.
All right, let's talk about new TV shows. This week, for some reason, is the week where they have piled every single new show on top of each other.
Yep.
They sometimes send over screeners, a DVD with like the pilot of a new episode or something, so we can kind of get a feel for what it is. Like last hour or 2 hours ago, we talked to Kevin Smith about Reaper. And we watched that show on a DVD so we could kind of get a feel for what it was, because it's on tonight.
And somehow Kevin and I managed to wrestle that DVD away from Dave the King of Mexico.
Look, I gave them to you guys. That's why you guys saw them.
We sent a team of interns to break into his house in the middle of the night. For some reason, Dave gets his hands on all of these screeners, takes them home without considering anyone else
wait,
in the show watching it.
See,
Dave opens the mail here, and he says, oh, look, a screener for a new show. I'll take that home. I'd like to watch television. I'm going to go home. And then we never see it again, and the guys who actually talk about the TV shows never get a chance to see them.
That's correct.
That's bogus, because I offered it to you guys, and you guys blew it off like, nah, I don't want it. I don't want
None
it.
None of us recalls no. anything yeah. being no. offered.
And why
Not
would we all. Reject seeing shows that are going to be on the call that we're
know,
going to be talking about?
I don't know,
because
you guys don't ever care about it.
And, okay, so
and
you're
all
saying,
of a sudden, this season, you guys care.
Let me see if I've got this straight. All of the new shows that came in, you're saying Bean, Ralph, me, Lisa, said... Not interested in
no.
any
for
of them.
The exception
I reject
of,
them totally.
For the exception of Bean, I offered Ralph, which I gave him the Fox preview series. I offered Kevin, which passed on everything. And Lisa,
yes,
which passed on everything.
I'm known for passing
and that was
on everything.
After, by
I
the
also,
way, we had this discussion.
No. And also, I gave you the ABC screeners. And how many have you seen?
I have seen some of those. But wait a minute. Let's go back to you gave me those screeners.
Yeah.
After
we complained about this.
We all went crazy because Dave had them all at home.
But we found out, Dave. We said, I said, we haven't got any screeners this fall. And Lightning goes, oh, Dave has. And I was like, what? And Dave's like, yeah, I've seen all the TV shows. I've seen them all for this fall. We're like, how did Dave get all the screeners? How did that happen?
And Dave, the ones you offered me were shows that have already been on, like House and other shows that I already know what they are. I don't need the screener for the first new episode.
I reject you totally.
Okay. Well, we don't right, care,
let's,
really.
Let's move on from that. And by the way, you broke assistant producer super whore Alex's heart when you took her Prison Break home, which is her favorite show on television. You took that home without giving it to her first. Just for the record, Dave, just so you know.
Yeah, that was
but
funny.
Let's talk about some of the new shows, because you have seen them all, and is the week. And it's like, for instance, Samantha Who was on last night. What the hell is Samantha Who?
Samantha Who's pretty good. It's about a girl who gets into this accident.
Yeah.
And then she wakes up with amnesia, and she doesn't know who she is.
That's what that amnesia will do that to you.
Isn't this the Bourne Identity?
Yes, it is.
You know, it's Christina Applegate. She played this really cute character who realizes that she was a horrible person, and now she's, like, trying to figure out, and her family and friends are trying to get back in touch with her. And now, so now she has to fight her way, and, like, she finds out she was cheating on her boyfriend. And all this bad stuff, and she's trying to make herself a better person.
I like Christina Applegate.
I do too.
She's very cute in this show, and you will like it.
Okay.
So, do you have a Dave scales or a Mexican meter or something like that, where you give it a certain number of tomatoes or something?
This is actually one you would watch instead of TiVoing.
Okay. What about Chuck last night?
Chuck was good. I liked it because, you know, it had a little spy drama in it.
Right.
You know.
And by a little spy drama, all of the United States secrets got downloaded into his brain.
Yes. Yeah, which was crazy. It was pretty weird.
It was crazy.
Yeah, you know, it had a little alias fill, but it was funny as well.
Alias fill?
It was filled with aliens?
Yeah. You know, Phil from Alias. So, all right. You know, Chuck was good.
Journeyman last night.
Journeyman.
After Heroes.
I didn't get a chance to see that one yet.
Still at your house?
Yeah, still in my house. Yeah. But I know the dude from Rome's in it, so mm-hmm. It's going to be good.
Tuesday night's Cavemen.
Oh,
is that tonight, Cavemen on ABC?
I'm not positive it's tonight.
No,
I'm
it premieres October 2nd.
Okay.
But that show sucks, dude. It really
does.
Is this
the Geico commercial, Cavemen? Is that
basically
what
it is? It's the same joke over and over. Oh, it's because we're different, huh? It's because I'm a caveman. Oh, I'm a caveman, so I don't know how to do this. It's caveman. I can't drive. Caveman, you won't let me in. It blows.
How about Kane? That's on Tuesday nights.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
Haven't seen it?
I haven't seen that one.
Let's sell your home? Okay.
Yeah.
It's about freaking Spanish people and a big Spanish family speaking Spanish.
What does he know about that?
Yeah, what do I know about Spanish things, dude?
Your culture, man.
Wednesday night seems to be a big night for new TV, Pushing Daisies.
Oh, that one's awesome, dude. It's all quirky and stuff. So,
I should put that on the poster.
All quirky and stuff.
It's really cool because this guy, you know, he has this power where... If he touches a dead thing, it comes back to life. But if he touches it again, then it dies. So
he then touch it again and bring it back to life?
No, that's it. It dies forever.
But why not?
He has a minute to either touch it and kill it back, you know, kill it again, or else something else dies. So he finds out the girl he loves dies. So he brings her back to life. So now he's in love with this girl who he can never touch again.
Or she'll die.
But he can touch every other girl in the world and then kill them immediately afterwards. So what does he care about that one girl?
That's true.
Well, you brought it to life. Private Practice is a show on Wednesdays.
Yeah, that's a show where it's a spinoff of Grey's Anatomy, and I think every Grey's Anatomy fan's going to watch that. So it's going to be pretty good.
Did you watch it?
I haven't seen this season's yet because they didn't send that one out.
Oh,
they actually showed the first episode last year.
The pilot
end
was
of
shown
the TV
with Grey's Anatomy. So
Dirty Sexy Money?
That one's really good. You know, Peter Krause is in it. Samir Armstrong and Donald Sutherland. It's a really good movie. But
it's about a lawyer, right?
Yeah, it's about a lawyer who takes over this rich family's, you know, a job from the rich family, and he has to, like, protect their sons, who's a mess up, you know. Then one's trying to run for Congress, and they have the daughter who's an actress who's horrible, and that's Samir Armstrong. And it's just this family that's effed up. And
he tries to keep them out of
trouble. And he's trying to not be like his dad, who was a previous lawyer. And,
what about this Dirty Sexy Money? This is the show that has the transsexual on it. The woman who's kind of hot, really, but used to be a dude. What about her? Him?
It's creepy, dude, because that's she hooks up with the Baldwin brother and
ugly one?
Yeah.
No, Billy.
Oh.
He's not the ugly one.
Yeah.
Steven's the ugly one.
If you didn't know that about her, would you have guessed anything was weird?
I thought, you know what, honestly, I just read about that this week, and I thought it was a chick just... being ugly, so you know.
Quite a compliment to her.
So you know, it just passed. She passed though. I thought it was a girl. I thought it was a girl.
Kid Nation.
Kid Nation. Didn't watch it. Not going to watch
it. Still at home. Bionic Woman.
Bionic Woman, this is interesting because this chick is hot, but I have no interest in this movie. I mean, this movie, this TV series, so...
But did you see it?
No, I haven't. I haven't
well,
seen
then
it.
Why are you answering?
Why do you take all the screeners home if you're not going to watch them?
NBC didn't send screeners.
Yeah. Life. Yeah.
Life looks pretty cool.
What's Life?
It's about this cop who was sent to prison and for life, but then he finds out that he was framed. So now he goes back to his job after everybody thinks that he did this crime, and now he has to figure out what happened to him and who framed him and who set him up.
How does he go back to his job if he was in prison for life?
Because they figured out that he actually cleared himself, but now he has to find out who framed him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was so falsely in prison. So
yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
It's going to be pretty good.
Just a couple more for you. If you're just joining us, Dave apparently has seen most of the new TV shows that we have not seen yet because they haven't aired because he took all the screeners home. What about
Dave
Gossip Girl?
Reviews new shows.
Oh, no, thank you. No, please.
Don't need
no,
that.
Please.
Okay.
What about Gossip Girl, another CW show that has gotten real good notices?
It's a good show. It's like the OC meets Cruel Intentions, you know, because Josh Schwartz, I think, created it as well. But the great thing about this is Kristen Bell's on it, so I'm going to watch it. She's a narrator. Just her voice alone will keep me in.
Thursday nights. That started last week.
Thursday nights, Big Shots.
Thursday nights, it's all about Office, Smallville, and...
Right. Big Shots, though?
Grey's Anatomy. So,
new show.
Yeah.
Trying to get a feel for the new shows.
No interest there.
No interest because it's on Thursdays, so it's all about Office... My name is Earl.
Just said that. Right. Friday's Women's Murder Club.
Nice.
I saw the title of this and I was like, yeah, I don't want to watch this.
So you just set aside the DVD instead of bringing it back for you?
No, I didn't even bring it back.
Now it's a coaster. Now it's a coaster.
Yeah, I didn't even bring it back. I just tossed it.
Well, I'm glad you're making those decisions for everyone.
Well, you know, I'm just saying, if I don't like the title, it's not going to, we're not going to watch it.
So. Wow, I didn't realize you had that kind of power. Okay. Let's see, what else? Sunday nights, Viva Laughlin.
Viva Laughlin?
You lost me, buddy.
Don't you know anything about that?
It's a musical with Hugh Jackman.
It is.
Yes,
you're right.
That's the one.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it is.
All right, we got to go to Dave's
house. Football.
We need to go to Dave's house, and we need to rescue all of these shows.
So we can catch up on the season.
That he's either seen or is not interested in seeing.
Yeah.
And hasn't thought of bringing
Dude,
it back.
Dude, the best show of the new season is going to be Reaper, though. So
I think so, too.
Yeah, it's
I love Reaper.
That was awesome. Missy Pilgrim's hot. You know, it's funny. It's sci-fi, you know.
I don't think you're going to have a future as a reviewer.
What are you talking about?
I think he does.
I brought it to life.
Mm-hmm.
I told the listeners what they need to see and what not to see.
Thank you, Dave.
I'm glad you stole our screeners, Dave. It was very illuminating.
It's good work. Show on the world famous K-Rock. What just happened there? How
that
come that just
not
happened?
Not you. I watched it happen.
What was that about?
Really? It wasn't Kevin?
No, I turned on my mic. I started talking about 4 seconds later. It came on.
This place is falling apart.
It is. Our general manager just poked his head in the room and he said, you guys aren't really having phone trouble, are you?
You guys really can't get long distance?
No, we just make that
no,
stuff
boss,
up.
No, boss, we can't.
We make it up because it makes the show sound cleaner. That's why.
And we sit around and go, how funny would it be if we didn't have long distance?
And we couldn't get guests on that we're scheduled to talk to.
All right, it's time for your phone call.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
What do you do, nephew?
Apparently, so far, you can still call us at 1-800-520-1067. It's toll-free, and for getting on the air and sharing your story, we got a pair of tickets to the Off-Road Expo, whatever the hell that is, at the Fairplex in Pomona. That's Saturday and Sunday, October 6th and 7th. Kevin and Beans, what it do, nephew?
All right, let's start with Chris in Chatsworth with a very surreal story. Good morning, Chris.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Hey, Chris.
Good morning.
Hey, calling about the Oscar de la Hoya, the photos of him in the fishnet, the panties, the high heels. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, he used to lean like a cholo, but now I'm starting to wonder.
Easy.
Hey.
Dude.
I won't say it.
You say something like that, the whole world could end.
One person might get offended. All right, Chris, you've seen the photos, and we've all seen the photos by now. They're on the internet. They're all over the TV. There is a little bit of a controversy about whether the photos are real or photoshopped. What is your opinion?
Oh, they're definitely real. I mean, they've got the photos of her with him in the fishnet, and then she's got other photos of them just out on the town having a good time. You know, it's pretty obvious that she was scared last night on TV, so I'd say they're real.
Here's my question. Somebody who's in the public eye that much, he's putting on fishnets and a dress and all this stuff. Does it
ever go through his mind, hey, this might come back and bite me in the ass?
No.
I mean, how many times does it have to happen?
Well, first of all, you know, strippers are really trustworthy. Legendary.
Yeah.
You
know.
Can always count on them not to stab you in the back.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, well, I heard they have the fishnet and the panties, too.
Yeah, I know.
Let me add on something of what Chris said. This stripper, and I don't know her name that he's talking about, the one who's been on the TV this week. She's the one who verified the photos and signed an affidavit and said, yes, they're absolutely real. I was there in the room. I took the photos. And then mysteriously, she did come back on TV and say, well, now I'm not really sure if they're real. I don't really know anything about it. I mean, it, almost like she was threatened or scared or she was paid off. She's really backtracking on her certainty about those photos now, and I don't know what that means.
Well, you know, Oscar will end up either having more photos come out or, you know, it might be a good Photoshop job.
Sure.
But in the meantime, it's pretty good.
It is funny. It is funny. You're right about that. Thank you for the call, Chris. We appreciate it.
Funny if it's not you. All right, let's go to Luke in El Monte. Good morning, Luke.
Hey, good morning, guys. What it do?
What it do?
Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
What's going on?
This past weekend, me and my boys went to Vegas for my 21st birthday, and we hit Club Rain and Club Moon. And when we were in Club Moon, everybody was looking towards one direction, and I look, and there's Kim Kardashian with a whole camera crew.
Glendale!
Well, all right, then.
Nice. Why does he keep fading in and out, by the way? What is he, on the moon? What's going on?
Dude, I don't know. I wish I could tell you. So, did you walk up to her, or was she busy with the cameras?
Actually, my buddy Juan saw her first, and he went up to her, and turns out she's real cool in person. I mean, she took pictures with him, and then my other buddies went. They were taking pictures with her, and I guess she's turned into a reality TV show, because there's a whole camera crew there with her.
Are you the
only
person?
She's got a reality show.
You're the only person that didn't meet her and get your picture with her?
Actually, no, I didn't get to. By the time I realized that they had all taken a picture with her, she was back up dancing on stage, like, with her mom and her sister.
All right, let me ask you one more question. Since you saw her in person, I've only seen her pictures on the internet. Is her ass as huge in real life as it appears to be in these photos?
It is. And
she's spectacular, by the way.
She's got an enormous butt, though.
No, but it's not enormous.
Flabby
it's not
fat.
A big fat ass. It's just awesome.
Listen to Bean.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
Bean. Oh,
I'm just saying.
It's
a, Mike, please nice, back me up on this, Mike.
He doesn't have a nice flat ass like Zac Efron.
Mike, back me up on Kim Kardashian's ass. It's huge, right, Mike?
It's huge, but it's huge in a good way. I agree with Ralph. It's not wide. It goes outward, yeah, which is always a good thing.
Shelf butt's
always
good.
Yeah. And it's not got queso on it like Jennifer Lopez, that jiggly, nasty nalgas.
Guys, we're arguing with a guy who likes Zac Efron about a woman's ass.
Right. If you like women's asses, I guess it's okay.
Six pack.
I like my fair share of the ladies. You guys know that. I just think Kim is just a little too thick behind. That's all I'm saying.
Not man enough to handle it.
Let's go to...
Fat girl's fat.
Oh, come on.
Let's go to David and Glendale. Good morning, David.
Glendale!
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Lisa May.
Hello.
What to do?
When I caught me into the Foo Fighters concert, you know, kicked ass. Everything was good. Great show. Dave Grohl's the best.
Okay.
We're sitting up front against the rail. They bring up Lemmy up to the front of the stage.
Right.
I've never seen such a big sack on an old guy than this guy ever before.
Now, this is Lemmy, who's the singer for Motorhead, for folks who don't recognize the name. He was apparently at the Foo show.
Apparently, he's got a big sack.
50-pound stuff in there, I swear to God.
So you're looking at his crotch, and you're like, damn, that's impressive, huh?
You know what? My girl was even looking at us like, damn, he's big. I'm like, what?
Oh, but sure you were. What? You were pointing it out.
Yeah.
honey, look at that package.
Oh, look at his crotch, honey. Doesn't that look
good? What? If you were there, I think you would have been all the way to the back, and it was noticeable. It was just like, wow.
You're way too happy about that, dude.
All right,
let's try Mark on line two. He's calling us from Orange, 1-800-520-1067. Kevin and Beans, what it do, nephew? Hey, Mark.
What it do, party people?
What's going on?
Hello.
Have you guys seen those Mexican car commercials on Saturday and Sunday mornings? With the TNA factor so high, the Mexicans know how to sell some cars. Let me tell you.
Dude, you know that just from watching TV. Watch Mexican TV.
Every show is like that.
I was flipping through watching some football, and in between the commercials, I was flipping through and saw those on there, and I was like, oh, my God, my girlfriend slapped me across the head.
Like it's your fault, like you made those commercials.
Seriously, but, I mean, did you see the outfits those girls are wearing?
I didn't, but I'll look.
You got to check them out. Saturday and Sunday mornings, early morning, I mean, I don't know who they're directing the car sales to, but those Mexican immigrants with a wad full of pocketful of cash, I mean, they're ready to go buy some cars.
Yeah, all those rich illegal immigrants.
They got nothing but money to buy cars cash, I'll tell you that.
Okay, listen up, Mexicans.
That's how it begins. All right, thank you for the tip.
Let's do one more, and this is Robert in Anaheim. I didn't want to talk to him earlier because it'll put Ralph in a very bad mood when Ralph hears what he's calling to say. Hey, Robert, what to do, nephew?
Hey, what to do, nephew, baby boo?
Hello.
And you as well.
Sorry.
What's going on?
I'm just talking about the new Heroes, man. I was very disappointed, not like Ralph was.
You were disappointed in Heroes last night?
In Heroes, yes. Everything like went back to like no one using their powers. Everybody's like in hiding again. Like last episode was like we stopped and everybody like got together. Everyone knew their powers. Everybody knew everyone else. And all of a sudden, everyone's back in hiding.
Yeah, because they're on the run from the company who's still out to capture them, and they're trying to avoid that.
Well, why don't they use their powers and go after the company?
Well, they are. Bennett has already put it together. He's got Suresh. He's got Suresh going in undercover with the company so they can take them down.
Suresh don't even have powers. Everyone else that has powers are like there in California, the cop and the girls over there, and everyone's like on hiding. I don't understand.
Right, but Suresh is the one.
Why?
Yeah, Suresh is the one who, because he doesn't have powers and is just the researcher, can get on the inside into the company to try to bring him down. I mean, it's a very clever plan that was unveiled last night.
It's not that I wasn't disappointed with that. I understand that part. But the part was we're in waiting for 3 months, and all of a sudden we went back to Heroes, and it's like at the start again. Everybody has to get back into the groove of using their powers again. It's not that I'm not going to wait and watch the next episode.
Somebody's impatient.
I think we
Hiro was using his powers back in feudal Japan.
Hey. Oh, in Japan? But like, how about
sorry, what a great country for you.
How about Claire, who used her powers in Santa Monica? She used her powers when she did the cheerleading thing and then had to put her legs back together.
Back
she used
up.
Her powers.
I'm saying it's not that they haven't used their power, but everything is
hiding
again.
Everybody's what about the smoking hot Latina chick who offed all those guys in the truck?
Someone new again. Another episode. We have to get back to seeing someone else figure out what they're doing now.
Can't make him happy.
Dude.
Can't make him happy.
You should go
all right,
watch Kid Nation.
Do you have a weapon, Robert?
Oh,
never
what
mind. Never mind. Thank
if,
you for
if
calling.
If you do, use it.
On yourself.
Exactly. I want to thank all of our many, many guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show, including author Gustavo Arellano. His book is called Ask a Mexican and the syndicated column. Go to askamexican.net. Also, thanks to Kevin Smith for joining us. He is the director of a new show called Reaper tonight at 9 o'clock on the CW, which I believe for us is Channel 13. Does that sound
new
right to
you? Five.
Channel 5 for the CW, all right? And also, Kevin's new book is called My Boring Ass Life, The Uncomfortably Candid Diary of Kevin Smith. That is in stores everywhere today. And we want to thank the folks from IGN for coming on today. Hillary Goldstein is the editor-in-chief of IGN.com's Xbox 360 channel. And, of course, get your Halo 3 today if you haven't already realized. Today's the day it comes out.
Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have perhaps the worst rapper in the history of human civilization.
How dare you!
Average homeboy.
You will get blazed.
Look it up on YouTube.
You will get blazed, mother effer.
Guy's been rapping for like, what, 22 years or something?
25 years, yeah. And he's going to break. I'm telling you, one of these days, he's going to be huge.
All right, second worst rapper after Omar.
So check it. Let me see my crystal ball. I'm sure it's going to tell it all. Oh, look, it's Kevin. Brittany, I want you back. She's like, F that.
All right. That, by the way, is our DJ. That's the guy that mixes beats.
Yeah, he's got mad skills. But Denny Blaze is the guy's name. If you don't know him, find him on YouTube. See his original Average Homeboy was the name of his original hit back in 85.
And oh, now, my God, he's been going that long?
He's still at it. He's still at it because he's going to break any day now.
Lightning's putting the link up at krock.com if you want to go there a little bit later on today. Also, to circumcise or not, this is the question tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Apparently, we have listeners that are ready to throw down over this issue.
Well, we got a listener who emailed us because he's trying to talk his best friend into getting his best friend's young son circumcised. His best friend doesn't want to. And he said, look, you're doing the kid a favor to get him circumcised, and it's causing a little bit of a rift in their relationship. So,
because this guy isn't, and he wishes he had been, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. He hates being an anteater. Yeah, exactly.
Also, tomorrow, a new feature called Stalking with Shaolin Robot. We're very excited about that.
Sweet.
And UFC.
Ask a stalker? Is that what you're saying?
UFC is coming back with Ultimate Fighter 6 on Spike. We got Matt Hughes tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
40 minutes nonstop K-Rock next with our friend Kat Corbett, including the Ramones, also Foo Fighters, Muse, Pearl Jam, The Offspring, White Stripes, and more right after this on K-Rock.